This show is sponsored by Nature Box. Nature Box ships great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free Nature Box sampler box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right, free Nature Box snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey. Also, go to MeUndies.com/Joey. When you're at MeUndies.com/Joey, check out the pics of the men's and women's underwear they have. They're the most comfortable underwear. They have shirts. They have socks. When you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, you're going to get 20% off of your first order and free shipping in the United States and Canada. Also, go to Onnit.com and check out all their optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. You can use code word CHURCH to get 10% off. And go to IronDragonTV.com. IronDragon TV is a Roku channel with all your favorite martial arts movies, Ip Man series, Jackie Chan. They have the most 4K technology, more than Netflix, and they're adding more every day. Go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals.
Oh shit. Oh shit. Just when you thought it was safe, bitches. Thursday afternoon. Get your weekend fucking... Are you kidding me or what? The church, what's happening now? Lee Syatt, Brendan Schaub in the house. We're going deep today. Denver, Boulder, the mountains. A lot of bodies up there. Kick that motherfucker, Lee. Kick that motherfucker, Lee. There you go. There you go. Sirius Radio is doing Guitar Month. So yesterday they celebrated the British people and they had this song on. I almost fucking crashed a car last night on Laurel Canyon. Today's American guitarist. So if you're into all that shit, there you have it, cocksuckers. Lee Syatt, Brendan Schaub here. Colorado was a very hard sell for me. I was 19. I was in the middle of New York City. Clubs were booming. You were going into clubs. You were doing blow out in the open. On the way out, they'd give you sunglasses at 7 in the morning. Brendan, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to leave. I knew I had to leave.
Why? Trouble?
It was coming. I knew I wasn't going to make it as a young man. New York was overwhelming. New York, for a guy like me, was... You know, I at the age of 19, I knew where to go, whether you wanted to buy a handgun, a bazooka, or an 8-ball of coke, or a $10 bag of weed. 24 hours. You know, when you have that access, and those are, you know, food is always available. But there was always, I had too much access in New York City, and I was getting myself into trouble. And I didn't know what to do. I had already gone to Arizona. It was nice, but it didn't grab me.
Hot as shit.
I had already been to Sarasota and Clearwater, Florida. I'm the lamb when I robbed a jewelry store. It was okay, but it didn't grab me. And one day I'm walking, I'm scamming, and I bump into NailedItLife.com's cousin.
Really?
They're our sponsors, oldest cousin.
Oh, wow.
He was 28, 29, maybe I was 18, 19. And I go, where you been? He goes, I got a place in Aspen, Colorado, blah, blah, blah. And I go, that's fucking crazy. My buddy's been talking me into going to Colorado. He was at Colorado Springs and got thrown out of the Air Force Academy. So he couldn't go back to Jersey, so he went to Aspen and became a garbage man. And he was loving it because people
not a bad
were giving
gig.
Him,
yeah.
Oh my God, people were giving him brand new shit. You know,
lots of money in Aspen. Crazy money in Aspen.
He met some other guys. When his brother graduated Brown, he made his brother come out, and they lived in a place called Holland Hills, who Dean Cain has a house there now.
Dang.
Holland Hills. It's in Basalt. It's where Goldie Hawn lived. Not in those apartment complexes. She lived down the corner, like at the end of that. They call it a river. There's like a river. I forget what the name of that river is. Basalt River. There was a restaurant there, Brendan, that you went in there. You gave them $10. They gave you a fishing pole.
No, they didn't.
I swear to my mother's grave. How fun is that? How creative is that?
It's creative.
You give them $10, they give you a fishing pole in that little stream. Within 10 minutes, the guy comes over, catches it for you, takes it out, skins it, cuts the tail, cuts the head, grills it, and gives you potato salad and
I'm not
bread
mad at that.
For
sounds
fucking
fun.
Trout.
Sounds
come
fun.
On, with
it
your fan. Dog, you think I went to fish in Jersey? This is how cool, this is what I'm saying, this is what lured me. I get to Basalt, Colorado. First off, I believe in signs. Brendan, I believe in signs, and I was
omens.
This kid came to me, and he's selling me Colorado. I don't know why, and I'm like, okay, brother, you know what? You got a point. I'll go with you. And I was in Brendan, but I had to get a bunch of money.
It sounds like it was easy to get you to go. You were looking for a reason.
I was looking for an out. I had always been looking. I went to college in Philadelphia. Philly was too fucking real. That was too real. When you're 18, if you're looking for trouble,
really?
I've
never been to Philly.
Oh, at that time, in 1982, if you were real and if you wanted problems, you had them in Philly. They were given to you.
Who
in Philly.
Wants problems?
Just if you thought you were confused, let's pretend you're confused. You know what? I beat this skinny guy up in In-N-Out. I think I'm a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
I'm going to train in Philly. And you go to Philly and you go join a gym. And one night you go to a bar and you tell somebody you're a UFC fighter and they pick you up. And they throw you to the glass of the fucking restaurant. And when you're laying in the fucking hospital squeezing a plastic ball, singing ABCs backwards. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a... So I knew I wanted to get out. But I told this kid, I go, what am I going to do for a living? I'm retarded.
And retarded.
He goes, they got jobs shoveling snow. For $12 an hour, I'll get you a job shoveling snow. He goes, you work part-time or full-time, whatever the fuck. And in those days, they gave you a three-mountain ski pass.
What? And you got to remember, the girls from Denver go to Aspen.
Go to Aspen?
Yes. Those snow bunnies love them from Aspen.
So I was like, you know what? I skied once in Jersey. It sucked, but I'll learn. I could shovel snow. So he goes, we'll leave on Thursday. I go, dude, I can't leave on Thursday. I'm putting together this deal. I don't want to go with like $1,500. I want to go out there with some dough. Let me burn a few people and let me get my lives in order and we'll get out together. This motherfucker leaves without me.
I mean,
so I went and bought a plane ticket, a one-way plane ticket. And in those days, to go to Denver was like expensive. I bought the ticket.
Did you fly into Denver or into Aspen Airport?
And I bought the ticket to fly into Aspen Airport. And I was leaving like... May 8th or something like that, and all of a sudden, I walk into the bar where I hang out, and there's my buddy at the end of the bar, and I go, what happened? I thought you left, and he goes, the transmission blew up in fucking Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. So I knew right there.
There's a sign.
His car broke. He came back to get me.
Yeah.
I go, when is it going to be fixed? He goes, well, I don't know now because I need $600. I go, here. This is $600. Get that motherfucker
That's
fixed.
A sign for sure.
Let's go. He called me the next day. He goes, like, we could be out of here by Thursday. So we left April 25th, 1983. You were just a month old.
That's right.
Right? You were just a fucking month
That's
old, right?
Right? Already in Denver.
Wow. And I just got in the car, and he was a power builder. He was a power lifter.
Yeah.
They were yoked.
Thick, dude.
Thick motherfuckers on Anavar. And Winnie V, right? Just fucking eating it like by the, like fucking M&Ms. Winnie V, that's it. Nothing injectable.
They were just pills.
Just fucking pills. It was 1983. It wasn't as designer as it is now.
Yeah.
Like Anderson Silva would have never gotten caught.
No, hell no. Your boy was on some Arnold Schwarzenegger shit.
Right. They were on, you had Decca de Roblin to cut up. You had the shit to bulk up was Deanna Ball. It was just some roided. Yeah, they sent you like it was from Germany, so they sent you like a syringe with Hitler, fat Hitler, with a baseball bat. It was like fat Hitler with a baseball bat, all with muscles. Sorry, Lee, you know I love you.
I'm convinced the Germans should do a special of just Jewish material. I think it'd be hysterical. He calls me every day. Didn't someone come up to him in Toro talking about how good you are for Jews?
Oh, please. He goes, you give him back self-esteem. So fucking, D-Ball was what bulked you up, the oral.
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I wish I knew.
D-Ball was what bulked you up, and then Decca, and then they ate Winnie V. This is what the guys I hung out with, that's what they were eating.
What was Danny B getting stuck with?
Danny B was later. That was later.
Oh, you told me about that guy.
Yeah.
So homeboy was just driving across the nation with just popping pills.
Popping pills, smoking dope with one 8-track, Led Zeppelin. That was a buddy of mine. That's how I know about the other shit. That was, he died. Huge. He died in 99. He was like Mr. New Jersey. This motherfucker was eating. He was buying shit. When people die, they take a juice out of their spine for $10,000. That's what he was blasting. He was on a different level. Yeah,
well, crazy he's not still alive. Yeah, no one ever.
He was blasting some other shit.
Yeah, he was blasting like dead people's stem cells?
Like something stem cells.
Oh, my God.
And you grow his chest.
Whatever it was, if he'd swole. He's shape like you and
whenever he put a T-shirt on, it looked like somebody had put a 2x4 in his chest. That's what it looked like from the side. It was just a fucking block of an inch thick. Just flat and steady with a vein going through it. With the shirt on, you'd see the vein and go, wow, whatever the fuck he's doing.
That might be too much, though.
That's a little
too
much.
My man.
That's a little too much.
Might too much.
So we drove cross fucking country with two speakers that he connected to the stereo. Like, in those days, they were like $1,200 speakers.
What kind of car are we talking?
Piece of shit. Huge gas guzzler. No. 12 miles to the gallon. He bought it from, like, his grandmother to take across country. It was like a Buick or a Sabre or something. But in the middle was an Olympic bar. He was bringing an Olympic bar across town, across
this
the country.
This guy's the ultimate meathead.
So he couldn't even fucking fall asleep. And 245-pound plates or whatever, like 445-pound plates, and my luggage and my shit in the back seat. We left on a Thursday night from New Jersey at 5 or 6 in the afternoon, and we got to Aspen at 5 o'clock at night on a Saturday night.
Dang, that's not bad.
No, we drove right through.
You guys were some monsters.
We drove right through. There was no sleeping. There was no nothing. Shoom, shoom. He got on the mic. I got on the mic. He got on the mic. I got on the mic.
I'm not good at that, man. I get tired. I need my sleep.
No. You sleep, too. You sleep. You sleep a gallon. I sleep a gallon. You sleep a gallon. I drive a tank.
All
right. You drive a tank.
I like that.
I drive a tank. You drive. What are we going to stop for? Yeah. To do one. To waste $60 in a hotel and prolong our fucking stay.
True. Some shitty hotel.
But it's. I remember being a little boy and they would say tonight, happy days, 8 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Mountain. And that mountain always rang in my head. I would go, who the fuck lives in the mountains? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck lives in the mountains?
Like mountain time. Yeah.
And here I was, now as an adult living in Basalt. And there was nothing going on. Like I got a job right away. Like I said, he got me a job shoveling snow. And then after like a month, it slowed down. It still snowed till fucking May up there.
Yeah, it snows up there.
Fucking May.
Snow.
Snow.
Snow and money. That's Aspen. Snow and money.
And we had to move. We moved to Snowmass Village, and that was completely different. And I remember shooting down to Boulder one time, like in the summer of 83, and going, this ain't for me. These fucking hippies. And Denver seemed too industrial. I'm like, I lived in Jersey. When you're on what is that, I-70?
There's I-70 and then there's I-25, yeah.
Right, both of those.
Yeah, both of them cut through.
Both
Denver,
of them.
Yeah.
At one point, you're like, what is this? This is Industrialville. What? And there's one plane, it just smells horrid.
Yeah, that's Commerce City.
It's Commerce City. Oh, my God.
It looks like Terminator 2
Judgment
Day.
That's why I started comedy pretty much. There was a club there, Club 52, on Wednesday nights. And
still there?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Oh, my God. That's where all the truckers are. And there was a little restaurant there that for truck drivers. We did. Listen to me.
That's definitely on the 70.
This is Colorado. It was the 70, and it was a restaurant just for truckers, but the guy was an Elvis impersonator.
Sounds like a nightmare.
He was an Elvis impersonator at some shitty place in Vegas, but he slipped one night, and he fell, and he sued him. So with the money, he opened up this little cafe in Denver. And on Wednesday nights, he was the Elvis impersonator, and he would do an open mic. And he liked me, so he'd let me come up and do stupid jokes. And he'd give me like $10 and a cheeseburger. Only in Denver.
Yeah, only in Denver.
When you hear stories like that, do you think those people realize what they're doing is retarded? Like, he went from being an Elvis impersonator in Vegas and using settlement money to open a truck driver and be an Elvis impersonator.
Like when he talked, he'd tell you like he never made it to the big time, Joey. I never made it to the big time with the Elvis impersonators.
No shit.
I only got to play like Henderson, like a cafe, and off the strip and shit. And he had pictures of himself everywhere in a Vegas suit. And it started like when he was like he looked as fit as you.
Yeah.
And then to me, like you saw the evolution.
The transition.
Like
evolution
before
to
and
real
after.
Elvis.
Of like, just giving you up.
What a shame.
He said, fuck
he
it.
He was such a good guy. Brendan, nobody would give me stage time. And this guy saw me at the Comedy Works. And he's like, hey, man, I love your style. You're a throwback. If you ever want to come down on Saturdays. So then he started giving me work on Saturdays and Wednesdays. Guys, he would pay me $10. But to me, it meant the world because... And I had to put up with his ear beating, you know, but he was an amazing.
At least you got on stage.
He put me on stage.
He gave me a shot.
And he really started at like 180, and he blew up to like 450.
No. God.
Yeah, like his mom was making the suits for him. Like he wasn't married. He still lived with his mom. His mom was making the suits for him.
This guy's a nightmare.
You couldn't write this shit.
You can't write that shit. He might have killed it with the lot lizards. I think that's what you call them, the truckers. Like the,
oh, yeah.
You know, those Pro-Ho stuff like that. There's lot lizards.
That's scary to me. Like, I've heard of that. Like, they just knock on the truck store and truck stops.
Have you heard this term, Joey?
No.
A lot lizard. It's like girls who, they, you know, when the truckers stop, they go from truck to truck hooking up with the guys. Lot lizards.
Oh, my God.
Like they're like a special kind of hooker.
I've never seen them at truck stops. And trust me, I'm a comic. I've slept at truck stops millions
and
of times.
And never seen a lot lizard?
No.
Oh, wow. You've heard of it. Am I making
this
up?
Yeah, no, I've heard of it.
I was like, am I batshit crazy? Yeah.
I mean, would you let somebody suck your dick if they knocked on your glass? At 4 in the morning, if you're sitting there, they want the small 50.
If I'm fucking...
That's my favorite term of yours. So call me, like, I'm going to get that check to suck my dick for the short 50.
Sure, the small 50.
The small 50. Bro, if I was single and driving across country, I mean, yeah, I'd be doing some shady shit,
but
man.
Not a fucking lizard lot.
No.
You know, you let some chick.
A lot lizard.
She just sucked 20 truckers' dick.
For like 20 bucks.
10 of them are on meth. She's got meth come in her mouth. Because one of those condoms blew up. So she's all methed up. She's tweaked up. She's sucking your dick.
Yeah, it's not
you
ideal.
It's weak as sucking your dick. It's
no,
tremendous.
No, it's tremendous.
It's
the grateful type.
Oh my God. I used to get these coked up chicks to suck my dick. I'd be emotionally broken, but they'd be fucking shot. You know what I'm saying?
What would they do?
Oh, my God, cry.
It'd make you feel good after you got done?
Oh, and then you got rid of them. That was the best, how you got rid of them. Oh, my God.
How would you get rid of them?
Who the fuck knows? You lie to them every time they got to leave. Cause
you got to make some shit up. You can't have them hanging out,
oh my
coking
God.
Out in your
So I'm
crib.
Shooting The Longest Yard.
Love that movie.
It's the first weekend of the shoot. Adam Sandler's having a party. That's some fucking dirty bar. You know Tate Fletcher?
Yes, very well.
That's Tate Fletcher. His girlfriend worked at the bar. Tate was an extra on the film. That's how I met Tate.
Oh, wow.
So we're at that bar and we're fucking around. When I walk in, who's the guy who just got into the car accident with Walmart? Tracy Morgan is sitting with two white chicks, and one of the white chicks is taking a Budweiser bottle. And busting it and putting the whole thing in her mouth and drinking it.
Like deep throating.
Like deep throating and going, I could suck a dick. And I'm sitting there watching this chick. I haven't done blow in like 2 weeks. I'm ready to bust. I can't fucking take it no more. I've been trying to be a good boy, but I gotta bust on that. I'm looking at anybody to see who's tweaking. Nobody's tweaking. I'm scratching by the fucking minute. Oh my God. And I'm looking at this chick, and finally she gets up to go to the bathroom. She comes back, and I can tell she's the tweaker. So I got to figure out how to break her away from Tracy.
How could you tell? Twitching, biting her fingernails?
She just went to the bathroom, and she came out, and just, I don't know. Something she was doing just made me say, this is the one. If anybody knows where to get a fucking kilo of blow, it's this filthy fucking animal, right? So he insults him. You give Tracy Morgan 20 minutes with a chick, and he'll say something to him that'll just either make him run away
or they're in.
Or they're in. and he was asking them if they wanted black babies, if they wanted a black baby, and all this shit. They collect welfare, puts you in a special bracket. You know, I mean, I'm dying to laugh.
Yeah.
And something happens that something. Tracy leaves, and the two chicks are sitting there. So I go up to the chick, and I go, listen, let me ask you something. Who's got the fucking yay around here? And she listens to me. She goes, I know this guy. We could call him and all this stuff. But in the meantime, I go to the bathroom, and I ask a guy from the set. And he goes, I got some in my fucking pocket. So I go, boom, how much you want? 80, whatever, boom. I get. So I'm sitting in this gym. And all of a sudden I said, fuck this chick. I got the blow. I didn't want this chick creeping around me. I already had blow. Oh, my God.
You don't want to share.
And she wasn't bad looking. I mean, she was an 8. She was cute. She was young. She was fucking, you know. And as I'm walking out, sure enough, because they gave us all rental cars on the set. You do know that. They gave us all, like, SUVs. Some type of SUV. So we all had, like, there's 20 SUVs in the town. It's one of the fucking football players from the longest yard. So as I'm running to it, as I'm walking to the thing, I hear his heels, and I keep walking. I don't want to share this fucking gram with this chick. I haven't gotten high in fucking weeks. Now I got to share it, and it was her. And she goes, well, this guy, he can meet us, like, in an hour. It's $50. So I take it to the hotel room, and I'm like, I'm not giving this chick blow. And I pulled a fucking Louis L'Amour, dog. I had Bayer aspirins. The heart medication.
And I crushed him up?
Crushed him up like a motherfucker. Because I didn't know where I stood with the chick. I didn't know for sure she was going to suck my dick. I didn't know for sure.
She's just there for drugs?
Oh, my God. So I gave her some of the aspirin. We were sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I made believe like my phone was on vibrate.
Yeah.
And I went, I go, oh, my God, it's my guy. Let me go downstairs. And I came back, and I had put him like aluminum foil, and I gave her some of the aspirin. Oh, my God. And she thought it was coke. It was the weirdest fucking thing. A hip started.
Did she leave after that?
Fuck no. I kept her there all night. After she sucked my dick, I busted out the real shit and kept her there all night. This is my creepy fucking days.
Creep days.
I wouldn't give her a ride the next one. I had to give her money for like a cab. She was a little furious.
Was she part of? Was she an extra on the movie, or she was just trying to hang out?
She was at the bar.
She was a groupie.
She was at the bar drinking like anybody else, you know? Yeah, and you know, she was a fucking tweaker. I mean, you could see it at 4 in the morning when she was looking out a window and trying to suck your dick, and she was paranoid. You knew something was going on.
What percentage would you say on set actors do drugs? It's a high percentage. The ones I know, I would say it's a high percentage. And I have a theory on this. If I tell you
something, you're not going to believe this.
I think you'd be surprised.
People, when I walk on a set, I keep them, I say hello, I'm very cordial, but I keep everything at a distance. After I did the longest shot, I can't tell you how many fucking people, I'm looking you in the face, I'm looking Lee in the face, I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, did you ever do coke with Michael Irvin? I had no desire to.
Yeah.
And I didn't take our friendship there.
Yeah.
I didn't mention it. Every night I went, I had my package. I don't know where he got his shit.
Yeah.
And he went and did his package.
He's a great
After
guy.
The movie shot, I heard stories. But, you know, the same thing about this guy, the same thing about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I always keep it light on those things because I know how fast. I heard stories of guys that did blow and all of a sudden they get a big movie role or a TV show and they just start talking to you. I don't want to lose somebody's friendship over drugs.
Hell no.
So on those movie sets, I always kept it. Weed, yeah. Everybody smokes fucking weed.
Oh, yeah.
On every movie set I've gone to, after 2 days, you're going to smell fucking weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as the other shit, I have no idea. The only guy I saw do it openly and didn't give a fuck was James Coburn. I saw that motherfucker smoke dope and have a beer can in his hand.
Didn't I give a fuck.
And his scene was up next. And they didn't say nothing.
Not
a fucking word, man.
This is my theory on actors and actresses and athletes. When you have a ton of time off, or if you're a musician or an actor, and you have a ton of time off and you have money in your pocket, I mean, you can only go on so many vacations, you can only do so much. Then you're back home just chilling, man. You're just chilling. So drugs is an easy outlet. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying I get it. You give me a ton of time off, I do some weird shit, man. I get tattoos. I buy fucking race cars and shit, you know? I make bad decisions. because I have so much time off. If that makes sense. So if you're an actor, especially everyone that just got done with a movie, your next movie's not for another 7-8 months. You have all this time off. You're chilling. You have a place up in the hills. There's a pool. There's chicks. I get it, man. I get it. That's why I think the percentage of, especially drugs, with, you know, weed, like you said, weed's common, man. So you see it everywhere. I just think it's a, there's a higher percentage in that line of business for that reason. Because you have so much time off.
For somebody who did as many drugs as I did for as long, I have a very good mix of friends. Like, I loved the friends that didn't get high as much as the friends that did get high. They kept me very balanced, you know? And I, at an early age, I learned somewhere to keep drugs out of certain relationships because they were going to ruin them. Weed, yeah. But once you start talking about coke or pills and shit, you start dabbling into other people's lives. When somebody comes to you and says, Lee, come here for a second. Your friend Joey Diaz, do you know where you could get blow? And you go, yeah, I get your blow. You're going to come to me, Lee, and get blow for your boss, who's a fucking big shot at ABC. Mm-hmm. He's never going to meet me, and I'm never going to meet him, but we're going to know about each other. Do you know what I'm saying? If something ever happens, he's going to cut you off, Lee, because you know one of his deepest fucking intimate secrets, which is addiction. People got to buy it somewhere. That's what always has baffled me. When somebody gets busted for blow, I always go, where'd they get it from?
Yeah.
You follow me? Who? What assistant went and got it for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I used to hang out at the weed store on Sunset. That's not there anymore. And the guy was telling me that 50% of his business was people's assistants.
It's all assistants,
It
right?
was all assistants Usually. That would come down.
Because they don't want to risk it.
Because they wouldn't come down to even get a medical marijuana license. Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
It's like, it's why I don't really understand, like, if like when everyone talks bad about, like, people like Justin Bieber or any young actor or singer, if I was 16 and had $100 million, of course. I mean, it's just, that's why I don't really get a lot of the hate they go through.
Yeah, but if I was
500 million. 500 million. And he's 21.
21 and 500 million. Let me ask you something. At this point in 2015,
I'd be way worse.
Why would you do drugs? Everybody else did them.
Well,
why would you do drugs? I try to be original. Why would you do drugs? You think I'm happy about my drug use at that time? No, it happened. It was at a bad time. I was right there. This weed thing that's happening, I was right there when the coke thing took over. And that was one of the wildest places that. Even up in the fucking mountains of Colorado, they had tons of coke.
But when you were in the party scene, that's when coke, like, burst onto the scene,
burst
right?
on.
For me, in Denver, I honestly, I never saw it. I never saw it in my 25, 26 years in Denver. Never saw coke once. Saw weed everywhere. Never saw
weed,
coke.
Weed.
Come to L.A., very first party I go to in the hills, a girlfriend of mine brings me there, and it's everywhere. And I just remember, like, dang, this is L.A., man. I just remember being everywhere. Never touched it.
Well, I actually wanted to talk. Joey and I talked about the Aaron Hernandez thing, and then like a day or two ago, an NBA player got stabbed at a club at like 4 a.m. in New York.
Kid from CU.
Like what?
Copeland.
As an athlete, like how are these people still going out? Like how is Aaron? Why is Aaron Hernandez killing people when he just signed a $60 million contract? Like, as an athlete who makes a decent amount of money, wouldn't you think you'd just stay at home?
You would think, right? Listen, the thing you got to understand about Aaron is his background, man. He grew up in a gang. He comes from a broken home. I'm not making excuses for him at all. I'm just saying you got to understand the kid's background. So he grows up doing drugs, getting away, just being the craziest athlete on the field. So that's his life. That's Aaron's life. They said the worst thing to happen to Aaron was him getting drafted by the New England Patriots. Because he's from there. So
he's from Connecticut.
He's from Connecticut. So his whole gang, all those guys, are from Connecticut. So him getting drafted by New England, he's not escaping anything. They're going, oh, our boys made it. They follow him over there. And he grew up, you know, in this gang life. When he was at Florida, his mom would come to the dorm, you know, and she was a drug addict, stuff like that. So he grew up a very rough life. You're not just because you're drafted and people say, oh, well, you're a role model now. No, man. Just because he has $100 million in the bank, you're not taking the hood out of Aaron Hernandez. Because he's a good football player. He's been that talented all his life and gotten away with it. Not working as hard as other guys. That's how talented he is. So when people are like, oh, this is ridiculous. How can you do that? You got to realize the conditions they come from, man. Not everyone comes from a great family. That's all he knows. To us, it's stupid. I'm not advocating what he did. to us, it's stupid, but to him, it's all he knows, man. So him getting drafted by New England Patriots, I mean, you talk about omens, whatever you want to talk about, it really fucked him, man.
You know, listen, it's just,
I think if he went to Arizona or anything.
This just didn't start happening. 20 years ago, before both of you were born, a player got drafted by the Boston Celtics.
Len Bias.
Len Bias, and he did coke, and he fucking died of a heart attack. Yeah. You know, this has been going on for years. You take a bad environment, a good environment, who knows? Why does a fucking player go out of his fucking house when he's got $30 million in the bank? He knows people are going to be running and gunning for him. What makes you take your fucking Mercedes with your butler and go to a club and... Because you want pussy, you want, you know.
You want to be normal. You want to be normal, though. Why can't you go to a club?
You got money. You want to buy a bottle. You want to go to Las Vegas. You want to get your dick sucked.
Yeah, man.
But you know what, man? People go, well, there's cameras out now, Joe. All this shit, the security. There was. You have to act like a human fucking being. Athletes have always been crazy. You know, listen, I got a Playboy magazine at the house about Hollywood Henderson. Another guy that came out way before you guys were born, he was a Dallas Cowboy that got fired because he put up a number one while the Dallas Cowboys were losing, when Tom Landry was a coach, he put up his number one before a commercial and pointing at a towel, and they fired him because he was a linebacker, and the towel was somebody's from the offense, a wide receiver who was putting out towels. So other guys could dry their hands on the towel before they go out and get the ball.
Yeah.
So he just gave it like an advertising. They fucking fired him the next day, Hollywood Henderson.
Jesus.
But Hollywood Henderson.
They're looking for a reason to fire him.
Hollywood Henderson was a fucking monster. He got drafted by Dallas. And that's, if you read the article, and Sergio Ortega from years ago, I put this article out there, and he found it at a flea market in San Francisco for like $4. It opens up with him because the Dallas Cowboys used to train at Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
That's their rookie camp.
Well, they're in Oxnard.
They're still, they used to be Thousand Oaks 30 years ago. And he talks about his first day stretching, thinking about what he had in his room, 3 hits of acid, a gram of blow.
Damn.
An ounce of weed, you know, $30, and how he was going to go out some speed. And then he used to come to Hollywood and hang out with the Pointer Sisters and Richard Pryor. He was one of the originators of freebasing.
Oh, wow.
So they knew it. Dallas knew it. They all knew it. At the time, the NFL was Dallas and San Diego Chargers were the biggest coke fucking freaks. And San Diego had their own cop liaison.
Yeah.
That was issued to them from the NFL. So if something happens to you, you would call that
good
cop.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book years later about, fucking the quarterback and Chuck Muncy getting paranoid. And Chuck Muncy was walking around with a gun, and the gun fell, and they shot him in the arm. So he was out for 3 weeks, but he just said he had surgery and how they bought it. Sure. He has allegations in there about Joe Montana's 6 week when he said they had back surgery. He was really in a rehab.
What?
Oh, yeah. Joe Montana was the king of swing, though.
What?
Yeah, man. When I found
Joe?
I found out when I was doing the longest yard, man.
It's kind of disappointing.
My heart broke in fucking
I love
head.
Joe Montana,
oh,
man.
My God. You. Bro, when I found out Joe Montana was a fiend, my heart broke.
Why?
Because he was my idol growing up, Joe Montana. Dog. What, are you kidding me?
I met Joe Montana at a Super Bowl party.
Did you look at his nose? It was probably leaking. They said his nose leaks, Doug.
I just remember being so excited to meet him. And maybe, you know, you never know what someone's going on in their life. I remember talking to him. And it was so depressing. It was a dark time. I looked down, he has fucking Skechers on at the time. You remember, he's pitching Skechers. He's at the Super Bowl party in his fucking Skechers. And he's just talking about how he wishes he could go back to the NFL and play. And I just remember walking away and being like, ooh, the guy needs a friend. You know, just like, he needs to talk to someone, man.
Something.
For sure, tell me about fucking glory 49er days.
All right, so when I'm sitting there, we're doing like... Because we did 6 weeks of the longest yard in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Then we shot the rest down in Torrance.
Oh, really?
At college down there.
Oh, nice.
So one of the days we were shooting, they were shooting inside the NFL with Marino and Sandler. And I was talking to somebody. It doesn't really matter. I don't know who it really was.
Yeah.
About whatever. And... for some reason, you're doing something, but something catches your eye. Something catches your eye and you focus on it. Somebody's moving fast, something. Yeah. So guess who comes by me moving really fast? Who's the crazy fucking linebacker that beat the dude up with the helmet?
Romanowski?
Yeah, Bill Romanowski, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He comes walking past me fast. And something just made me tilt my head. He's got the shorts on. He's got the T-shirt on.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And he's just moving. This time he's shrunk. Right? He's just moving. And they're shooting inside the NFL. Right? They're shooting. Cameras on. And he walks right on the set and he goes... to Marina, how's that drug problem and all? Dog, it was fucking Bugatti, fucking bad. Are you fucking kidding me, dog?
What'd Marina say?
He just froze. Like, he just laughed, cut, and they were just giggling about it. They were just giggling. Sandler turned purple. Everybody turned fucking purple. Yeah, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, man.
Romo's a wild card, man.
What's that?
Romanowski was a wild card.
Done.
Crazy
done,
dude, man.
Dog. Done. Done. Don, lethal, white. He could have gone either way. Here's a guy that could have gone either way because my buddy played with him in college. That's why he got along with me during the movie set. He really wasn't too fucking keen on a lot of people. You know, for years he sent me powders and pills and shit. And Doctor is out of Denver. His partner is out of Denver.
Yeah.
Doctor whatever, the dude who could feel your body and do fucking hypnosis. Because I think the company was out of New Mexico or something. But they were both out of Denver. The doctor's out of Denver. Yeah, Romanowski's no joke, dog.
No joke,
he could have been. He could have been 10 times worse than Aaron Hernandez. He was going for people's eyes.
He was the guy. He's that fucking elephant in the circus that's going to freak out and fucking do some work.
Like, yeah, he could have.
Yeah.
My buddy was second to him in tackles in college.
Really?
So as soon as I got the thing, he called me. He goes, hey, man, listen. Don't play.
Don't fuck play. With Roma.
Keep them straight. Be honest. Don't fuck. No. And I learned the hard way because when we were shooting that scene where he hits me.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he hits me.
Yeah.
There was a squad. There was the actors. There was the doubles. Then there was a practice squad. Right? And when we were shooting that movie... the practice squad would shoot stuff with the uniforms on, and you'd think it was the guys.
Yeah.
But there was this little dude from New England, don't know what his name was, Lee. No big body. He wasn't buffed. He wasn't Mr. America. He was just this little Italian dude, maybe 6 feet, and they were lying. Maybe 205. Dog, he was popping motherfuckers. But when I tell you he was popping people, he was dislocating lighting shoulders, like that type of shit.
Taking
like,
it too serious?
Like, no. Just clean. Even people were like, God damn, dog. Yeah. God damn. Like, what the? Pop! At the last shot, pop! One of those guys that's with you the whole time. Yeah. And all of a sudden, once you touch the ball, bam! Well, he had fucked up two guys in 2 weeks. Like one guy's shoulder with the ice pack on, with the shoulder taped up, one of those guys. And then another guy walking with a fucking fucked up knee. So now we're about to shoot that scene where they kick the ball off to me. All right? And I don't know. For some reason, I'm being an asshole. And I look at, it's the Italian kid from the New England Patriots and Romanowski. And it's me and Sandler, and we're all talking in the scene. And all of a sudden he goes, listen, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know, whatever you want to do. Do the scene. The stunt man was like, I'll take the shot. I go, no, go ahead. I go, listen, to be honest with you, I don't mind who hits me here. I'd rather Romanowski hit me than this fucking little Italian tank.
Dang.
What did I say that for?
Fucked up. You know he fucked up, right?
I fucked up as I was saying it as a joke. Romanowski just looked at me.
Wasn't that right after he stopped playing in the NFL? Like right after?
It was right there. It was right. Those shots are real. The first shot he hit me when I went backwards, but the second shot that they taped with my helmet spun around, I got up and I remember with the helmet going, that's it. Because then I started getting pissed off because I'm like going, you're fucking really going at me. Really?
He was dead serious.
He was dead serious. And then I was dead. I'm like, you're really going at me? And you're an NFL player? Let's do this shit again. And then he would, and then I would level my 315. I was 415 then.
Yeah.
If you can't knock me down, you're an NFL player. Because he wasn't really knocking me down, guys. I was going down to a knee, but he wasn't Lawrence Taylor-ing me by no means. And I'm like, come on. And so I started getting pissed off. And after like six shots, they said, cut. We got the fucking cut.
We're good.
Yeah, we got good. It. And I remember walking back to the scenes, and it felt like I got beat up.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't bleeding, but my body was like, zzzz.
Could have been good for your brain.
I don't give a fuck. Who gives a fuck, dog? Every time like I do a bumper, what do you think happens?
What do you need that for?
When you do a bumper coke, what do you think happens? It's like a left hook. It's like your head jolts backwards.
Romanowski, that's when that he was fresh off the Oakland Raiders then too.
Yeah. That was fresh off the fresh fucking, off that Raiders. That thing what he did with the helmet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was
takes
fresh.
It off, hits the dude with it.
Because he had to leave to go to court and shit. They came and got him one time. Hysterical.
He was
and his
nuts,
family's
man.
Very nice. He has a nice wife. That was a great opportunity to be around fucking crazy people because to do football those amount of years, you got to be a little bit. People always say, oh, you got to be crazy to do comedy. Listen, you got to be fucking crazy to play football.
Especially linebacker.
Especially some of those positions. At a certain age, you got to wake up and go, what the fuck am I doing? I'm 31. Now I'm practicing against 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
That they don't give a fuck. They've been hungry. They've been living in a fucking project. They've been shot at. They want my fucking job.
And they're bigger, faster, stronger.
Bigger, faster.
Young kids.
My God, that's such a...
Your boy Michael Irvin, though, is one of the most special people I've ever met. Great guy, man.
Great guy.
He's a good dude.
Good dude, man. I really loved him. He was one of those guys that everybody on the set loved.
He's a guy, if you could get him on your show, on a podcast, and sit down to actually open up and talk about the White House days on the Dallas Cowboys, when it's him, Emmitt Smith, Nate Newton, when they'd have the White House parties. Have you heard about this? They all went in on just a big-ass crib in Dallas, and they would just, after the games, they'd have these massive parties there. Called it the White House.
Does he talk about it publicly?
I think he has. I think he has. I think, and they've talked about it in a book, but he doesn't go into detail about it.
No.
It'd be fun to get him to open up talking about in detail. You want to talk about living a life? The White House parties?
I think every fucking football team did those. They just...
They weren't the Dallas Cowboys, though, in the 90s. What? Yeah. Think about those teams, man.
Yeah, they were fucking crazy. You know, and they're still... I still used to go to Dallas a lot, and I used to ask questions. And there's a lot of Michael Irvin stories in hotels and shit. That's how he got in trouble.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's how he got in trouble. He was by not letting somebody into a hotel. Like somebody wanted a party and they go, let's come with you. No, okay, I'll pull the cops on you. And that's how it started. I hated those fucking hotel parties. I could never settle at those things. See, I'd be doing drugs in those things with people and shit. Guys with guns and you're in a fucking hotel room. Music's on.
I don't get down with
women. Women
are
yelling.
Last one I went to was in at the Roosevelt in L.A. I was with Brian. It was wild, man. I left. Like you said, I left. Nothing good's going to come from that, man. No. Switch for me. I got out.
I've never been. No. I'm one night out in 94. I went with my buddy Chris Fish. And I went out with him for dinner. And we got some blow. And I got really excited. And I got really fucking high. And I passed out in his car. And I woke up in this car like at 4 in the morning. I was in the parking lot of the building on 100 and something street in New York City. That's the first time I went there. Then I started going there after that. And I woke up and I got out of the car and I'm like, Chris. And all of a sudden I heard music. And it was like the 8th floor of a building in New York. So you pull up and you press the button. They take you up to the 8th floor. And then you pull the fucking car out.
Oh, wow.
And then upstairs they have hookers. They have blow. They play cards. You could dance. Fucking tremendous. I was so scared to be in there. I don't even know why I remembered that number. Who gives a fuck? So.
Who gives a fuck?
You went to this fucking high school in Denver.
Overland. Overland High
Where
School.
Where the fuck is that?
Overland is in Aurora. It's close. Well, you know, Aurora gets a bad name now because of those fucking theater shootings, right? So my mom lives next door to there. But Overland High School. Overland's a big city, man. It's a suburb right outside Denver. Coach there. I don't think he's still there. Tony Manfredi. He's one of the best. He's one of the classic coaches. He's a coach there for like 25 years. Whether it was college, pro, even now, UFC, Tony Manfredi was one of the. I was fortunate. One of the best coaches ever in high school. Think about most of your high school coaches are at, you know, they're slapdicks. They don't know what the fuck. They played slapdicks. They played high school football and they tell you about their glory days. I had a legit coach, man. I was fortunate. Yeah, so high school, Denver, college, University of Colorado. That was like a dream, right? Especially being in Denver. The golden helmet, that's what you want.
We're talking about Boulder. What did you think of Boulder as a whole?
Boulder's tough, man, because Boulder's in a weird place now. I just remember it upset me because you didn't get much support from people in Boulder. The football program, especially when I was there, we were good, man. In previous years, we've had some great teams. But I just feel like in Boulder, you know, the liberals, they got too much shit going on. Athletics isn't a key thing. But if you look around, why the fuck do you think all this nice stuff is around? Because the football team. Who do you think's paying for all this stuff? The football team's bringing all this money there that pays for all this nice stuff. All these other, the athletic facilities, all this stuff. That's all football, man. So I just felt like we never got support there, ever. There's too much shit going on. There's too much. You can hang glide. You can rock climb. You can go tubing down the river. There's too many options. And then the problem with that is in, you know, Boulder's mainly white. You know how it is. It's all white people. So you're trying to recruit these five-star athletes, you know, from urban areas. It's a tough sell, man. It's a tough sell. It's beautiful, but you're trying to take a kid from a big city like New York or Los Angeles and say, hey, check out Boulder. I mean, you're talking about a complete 180, man. So they have their work cut for them for sure. I think the team haven't been good because, you know, when Hawkins was there, he wanted more of a team that was like academics and shit. What's up?
Who's the shape of this fucking guy?
What's up?
He got me high before the podcast.
No, I didn't.
He's just like dead quiet.
I don't even know what I did. He just looked at me. He was like, quiet.
Listen, before you say anything about support, South Beach is South Beach, Florida. You know, it doesn't appeal to me, but it appeals to 1,000 million people.
I agree.
And you know what they can't do in South Beach? It's a party town, right?
That's all it is.
They can't do comedy there. It just doesn't work. New Orleans, beautiful city, great food, great music. You know what never worked there? Comedy.
They're just not open to it, you don't think? There's too much going on.
Just doesn't click. Something about New Orleans. They do comedy at a book place. They do comedy at the House of Blues.
It's not like New York, LA.
No.
That's like football. Go to the South. Go to Tennessee. Go to Alabama. You want to talk about support? That's what I'm comparing it to.
Support. You know where else you can't do comedy? Boulder.
Really?
Boulder. College town. Bars everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just doesn't click. The Boulder Broker did it for years. And a place called the Blue Note, where Roseanne Barr used to go with Matt Berry and Matt, the other guys that created shows here. But besides that, they tried to put 10 comedy clubs in Boulder over the year, full time. Can't do it. Boulder's very intellectual. Boulder, they used to call the paper the City Republic of Boulder. Mm. It's very... Lee, I wouldn't last in Boulder right now without people saying something to me. Like, I'm too fat to live in Boulder.
What would they say to you? Like,
you got
to
get your life together. Because they have moonlight walks at Chautauqua Park
they
at
some
night.
Shit there.
For free. There's no reason to be 10 pounds overweight in Boulder. No reason. You can't say, listen, I have a libido problem. No! They'll fucking help you. They'll take you to Naropa Institute, and they'll fix it for you, okay?
Quinoa juice.
Yeah, they don't fuck around.
I got yelled at for driving a Hummer up there.
Look at that.
I had a Hummer, people would look at me in disgust.
It is
completely
different.
Get your mind right.
They drink their beer, they smoke their reefer, and they want people to be in shape. You look at Boulder, what's to do tonight? Swim class, free, put on by Lifeguards of America. Go there and learn how to swim. Marsh, it's amazing. You know, it is an amazing town. They used to have a place, the Harvest Restaurant. It's still close to my heart, and it was vegetarian.
They have great food there, man. Jay's Pasta? What?
Unbelievable. Jay's Pasta. Still there and shit.
Hell yeah. Huge supporter of the football team. We used to go there all the time.
Well, this is what I'm saying. for the amount and the size of the town, you have huge support. Because I remember when they went to the fucking place, to the Federal Express Bowl in Florida.
The Orange Bowl.
How many fucking people went that year from Boulder? And I used to work at the Puddle Car Wash. They were big supporters of CU football. Huge. Everybody from the school came in, got free car washes. The football players hung out there. It was, I don't know what how to describe the racism in Boulder. Okay? It's not like, hey, a black dude. No. Mm-hmm. They really appreciate the football team. But when...
They just don't want their daughters dating them?
No. When shit turns sour, they don't fuck around when it comes to the football team.
Well, I was there when it was sour, the Barnett days.
And it was sour. Even more sour before you fucking got there. I was there when the fucking Greek... Sal? I was there when the fucking black running back
Sal
was collecting for the fucking Greek diner. How can an all-American running back be collecting for the fucking guy that's like a part-time mobster? Like, if this guy came up to me and said, you owe me money, I'd smack him in the mouth. Not the black linebacker. Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the owner of this restaurant at the time.
Yeah.
Was like a make-believe guy. Like, he was like a make-believe bubblegum mobster, and he hired the running back from CU. This was way before J.J. Flanagan. That's when I was there. That was the first problem.
What years is this?
This is 87, 86 when this problem started. And then came the Canavis McGee years when he punched the guy in the head at Togo's Pizza downstairs.
Yeah.
And knocked his eyeball out. And then the J.J. Flanagan. I got into a beef one time. I got into a beef one time on Safeway, on Baseline Boulevard.
Yeah.
Because he called me a spick. And the reason why the judge threw, bro, I was going to do time. I would not be here right now. It was my third felony.
Yeah.
In Boulder. I would have been done.
You stretch your out.
And this guy said, we're throwing it out because in the city limits of Boulder, you're not allowed to use the racial slur. It's the J.J. Flanagan law.
Oh, wow.
Because he smacked the lady for calling him a nigger in Pearl Street.
Damn.
And they dropped it. Oh, yeah. Boulder had a lot of problems for a long time. A lot of problems, but they really... They weren't racist as far as when the shit went, and when it was time to call them a spade, they called them a spade. That's the problem.
The pull that
I knew you were a fucking Jew, you know what I'm saying? Like, after I've loved you for three years, I'll pull the Jew card out on you, and you're like,
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm trying to say. They're not racist, so I don't
It's a weird vibe, man. Don't get me wrong, I love Boulder, I love my time there, but it's a weird vibe, especially if you go to other college towns. Like, I spoke at Ohio State. They freaking live and breathe Buckeye football. You don't get that same feeling when you go to Boulder, man.
There's too much to do. There's too much intelligence. You know, the intelligence level in Boulder, if, you know, everybody wants the helmet to be invented, the thing that they can look into your brain to see what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Like a street in Boulder without people knowing. You know, idiots like you and I and Lee, we're thinking about pork chops and getting our dick sucked and working out and going to a movie. Yeah. In Boulder, when you see those guys walking down the street with sandals on, smoking a pipe with their stupid fucking glasses, they're thinking about the speed of light.
Yeah.
If there was a hurricane in New Mexico right now, what would the speed, you know,
making that's
what
they're really thinking.
I sold Subarus, and it was amazing when the questions people would come in. And I thought it was a joke. I thought they'd get together and go in there and ask these questions to the salesman. And I would ask the general manager. I'd go, listen, this guy just asked me this. And he goes, I've been selling Subarus for 30 years. Only in Boulder do they come up with these questions. Because they're so intelligent that this is what they're thinking about, like the ratio of the brakes. Who gives a fuck?
I bet they sell more Subarus in Boulder than probably anywhere else in the nation.
No, it's at Burt. It's Burt. Burt's the number one dealer of Subarus in the fucking world in Denver. But I think the one in Boulder and Colorado Springs is number two in the world.
I mean, you'll see more Subarus. Subarus in Denver is like Priuses in Los Angeles.
Why do you think I drive a Subaru? Because of my
Denver. You drive Subaru right now?
Since the last 20 years because of my Denver
days. You love them?
Love them. I know how I am with a car. I am a fucking bad luck person with a car.
Really?
My right eye is better than my left eye, so the right eye, the right side of the car is always going to have dents. There's always going to be a hubcap missing, a ding in the door, something, okay? My foot's heavy.
Price
you know, zero. I always fuck up the mats. I always fuck up the mats. You know, I'm one of those guys. So the car that was there for me the whole time was a Subaru. The only knock a Subaru has is if you get a 5-speed, which don't exist anymore, you couldn't leave your hand on the clutch.
Why?
At the light. You know how people leave their hand on the clutch? You have to take your hand off because that's how your clutch cable went. The number one thing on the Subaru was the clutch cable because people would leave their hand
on the clutch.
So that was the thing. This Subaru here, I love it. And I love it when it rains in California. I got to go out.
It's rare.
And everybody else is like fucking manhandling the five. And I'm on the left-hand lane doing 90 with my fucking
all-wheel drive
symmetrical. Because now they threw the symmetrical in that motherfucker. Four-wheel. I lived in Boulder when you went up the fucking hill. And if there was a lot of snow, you pressed the button. Oof. And the rear tires would pop up. Now, here's the thing about Boulder that people don't know. I got arrested in Boulder. I got convicted in Boulder. And I got to tell you something. Boulder is still one of the most favorite places for me in my heart.
That's great.
I'm embarrassed to go back there. I always felt like I let Boulder down.
Yeah.
The type of guy I was raised, like Boulder, was those people very nice for me to have a machine gun.
Yeah.
And act how I did, all drugged up, you know. But Boulder had a dark side.
What do you mean?
Like, I saw a lot of weird shit in Boulder. Like, I was just thinking about this guy a couple nights ago. I was at home by myself. My wife was out of town. And I was thinking about my man, Fred. That was the first like, I thought I was a gangster when I lived in Jersey. Like, I thought I was a gangster. Like I knew shit. Like, a guy I knew killed a guy and threw him into the fucking Hudson River. Like, I just knew shit when I was a kid. But it wasn't until I got to Aspen. Like, I was lonely, you know, I was lonely, and this girl used to always come over to the house. She used to work with the girl next door, and they all smoked pot, and one of my friends, and I would come home some days, and there'd be 8 people in my living room, and this woman, one day she said to me, she goes, you and my husband would get along. You should go talk to my husband. So I would go over there at night and talk to him and shit. He was like a hard dude, you know, he's ex-Marine, whatever the fuck he was. He was originally from, like, you know, the other side, Grand Junction. You know, those people ain't got no personality. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Not shit in Grand Junction.
Yeah, they ain't dick in Grand Junction.
I haven't heard that word in forever.
Yeah, Grand Junction, you know. But this dude was just cool. He was in Vietnam, just a solid dude. He was a little older than I was. He was a bus driver. And I would talk to him, and one thing led to another. And one night we're watching Scarface. He didn't get high. His wife got high, but he didn't get high. He drank tequila and smoked cigars, you know. And we're watching Scarface. And I said something about a gun. And he goes, turn this off. And he said, move the couch. And we moved the fucking couch. And under the couch was a fucking floor safe. And this motherfucker opened it up, and out there he had the Rambo gun, the Tony Montana gun. This is 1983, guys. Yeah. He's showing me this craziness. He's showing me this utility stuff.
He's waiting for an apocalypse or some shit?
He was waiting just to kill people. He was dying to kill people. What he really wanted to do, this guy, his dream, and then that's how we became friends. So he started teaching me how to shoot on Saturdays. He taught me how to shoot.
It didn't worry you that this guy wanted to kill people.
No.
See, I'm the fuck out.
No. He didn't tell me himself he wanted to kill people. He wasn't creepy. He was a guy that just, I could tell that he had killed before. I could tell he was in the service.
Yeah.
I could tell he didn't fuck around. I could tell he really loved America. He was just a different type of dude. But I could tell he wanted more, and he felt like he had been cheated. He was one of those dudes, and they're the most dangerous ones.
Super dangerous.
And I didn't know where this was going, Brendan. You know, he was just very nice to me. He'd just say, what do you want to do? What do you want to shoot tomorrow? All I had to do was pay for my bullets. So we go to the bullet store before that, and he'd tell me, what do you want to shoot tomorrow? I'll shoot the 9mm with the scope. I'll shoot this with the fucking bazooka. Let me shoot this. So he'd go, all you got to do is cover your bullets. And he'd let me shoot it, Brendan. He was very nice. I shot like 3 guns in New Jersey at a pigeon in a backyard. When somebody takes you shooting in Colorado, your fucking heart beats. You're out there. Yeah. He would take me like behind these fucking mountains and put up cans, and it was shovels so people could roll on the floor like you were in the service. This was fucking crazy, guys, on fucking Saturdays. And we'd spend all morning out there, and he'd tell me one thing. I'll take your shoot and just do me a favor. Don't smoke that shit. That was our deal, so I didn't get high. Everything was very legit. He showed me how to clean the gun afterward, how to clean him. He was my fucking dog. Then the clouds finally...
What do you want out of it?
Okay, so he knew I had a little larceny to me. He knew I had a little larceny to me, and one day he just started talking to me about robbing a bank. But he wanted to rob the bank the day after Christmas. I told the story on Marin one time, and people were like, you can't rob a bank on Christmas Day. I mean, he wanted to rob... Christmas Day was like on a Wednesday, so the bank was going to be open on Thursday. He wanted to rob the bank like on Friday or the Christmas Eve.
Why? What's his reasoning?
Because all the money that was going to be there from the day from Christmas vacation, they weren't going to have a chance. The people weren't going to pick it up till the following Monday. So he knew he had been watching the Bank of Aspen. So he knew that on those weekends they don't make a pickup, so they had to be 50,000. I don't know what the number he had, but he had another guy and me, and he wanted to do it with snowmobiles and rob it through the back way. Like, it had never been done that way. Like, instead of robbing the bank and having to shoot it on the street and, you know, having the helicopters chase you, fuck that shit. Do it on snowmobiles. Have a car. Dash out with a car, but have a point where you get into snowmobiles.
Dip out.
And dip out. And by the time they find the snowmobiles...
I mean, you're kind of convincing me. I feel like...
Oh, my God. This is...
I'm in shit.
Now, at the same time, this is the winter of 84. At the same time... No. This is the winter of 83. At the same time... I'm robbing little drug dealers in Snowmass Village. Just little guys. An ounce, a half ounce of blow, 800 cash. Dumb shit. But I got my sights on this fucking jewelry store. On my own. I'm going to do this jewelry store. So I had another friend that was an electrician. This is crazy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You see, Brendan, things could have gone a lot of different ways. Yeah. You see, now you see what happens when you're 18 and when you're 50, where your thinking goes with those college players that we were judging before. You don't know what a kid's thinking when he's 22. You know how fucking weak you are when you're 22 and you really don't know it? What do you think, Jehovah's Witnesses recruit you when you're fucking 40? Nah, they recruit you when you're 40, but that's the time to get in when you come out of college and you're disheveled. You don't know what you're going to do, and all of a sudden the New England Patriots give you $60 million, and you're still hanging out with gangsters.
Yeah, man.
And now you... Listen, when I kidnapped that guy, let's be honest, because you didn't know the story, and we were getting through this the other day. Let's be honest. I could tell you whatever story you guys want to hear. Was it because my mother died at a young age that I kidnapped somebody and made them go through that? Not really. Was it because of my drug use and I'd done PCP in 1982 and it backfired? I could tell you that, and I could probably have a psychiatrist back it. That's how crazy. But I'm telling you as a man, you want me to tell you what it was, bro? Between the drugs and the way I'd grown up, like watching people with guns, some way in my mind, I thought that that was the way to go. Like, I got that confused.
You think it was the options? You just didn't have many other options?
I had tons of options. Who the fuck are you kidding, dog? In America today, you got always got a fucking option. There's a shelter that'll give you 30 days to get your life together, and there's always a car lot looking for somebody to wash a car, dog, or to fucking sell a car. Trust me. Trust what I'm telling you. They always lock you. That's for television, people. There's no option.
Yeah.
That's for television. There's tons of fucking options in this country. I had this fantasy. It was a fucking fantasy. Thank God I didn't kill somebody and do 30 years over a stupid fantasy and be sitting in the cell today thinking, I didn't want to be a killer. That was just, you don't know. You're watching MTV. You know, they're showing up at the club, throwing 50s. Who doesn't want to throw 50s up in the air when you're 22? You blame you? You don't want to throw 50s up in the air? You don't, Brendan Schaub, if you had the opportunity tonight to pull up with the baddest fucking Porsche available and just say, look at the valet and throw like a pile, 10,000 at his face. Bam! Don't move this fucking car because I'll shoot you in the fucking head and go like this. and show him like a bazooka. Walk into the club, the big black guy, throw him 10,000 and go, fuck you and every fucking black guy that came out of Africa. And there's more where that came from. After you threw 10,000 at a black guy, he'll let you call him a nigga for 5 minutes before he gets mad. You got about two That's minutes terrible. Left. You understand me? Who you kidding?
Are you kidding?
Okay? Right or wrong? Who doesn't want to be able to do this as a man? I'm lying to you motherfuckers. It could be a Kung Fu Chinese guy. What Kung Fu Chinese guy doorman? Could you take 10,000 hundreds, throw it at his face, and go, fuck you, cocksucker. Shine my shoes, you fuck. And he'll look at you and go, you know what? I'll shine you 10,000.
10 grand.
What the fuck? And then you walk in the club, everybody, you just barreling, mother. Get out of the way. Look what I got. You got a fucking 50,000 in 20s. You know what that looks like? You have an idea what 50,000 in 20s looks like?
I have an idea.
You got three Chinese guys carrying it behind you. And you blow a whistle in the middle of the strip club. You just blow a whistle. And start just throwing 20s in the end going, listen, turn the thing off, DJ. Throw 10,000 in his face. And go turn the music off. 666 Buckingham Lane. I'm having a party at 3 o'clock. I got another 100,000 in 20s at the house. You're invited. How many people are going to show up to your house? How popular are you
going to fucking be? Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a night.
You do that to 10 fucking parties. You know how many 21-year-olds want to do that in today's society? I did. I'm not going to lie to you. All I want, if I think back, what did I want money for? You think I was going to buy a house?
Hell no.
And resell it?
Fun, man.
And flip it? You think that?
Make an investment?
Yeah, I was going to make an investment. I was going to take that money, buy a kilo of coke, buy a bunch of clothes, buy a fucking car, get a hotel room, and spend it till I died, or that's it. And then not have a plan.
You don't really have a plan when you're that young. The only time I've ever legit made it rain on someone like that is I got out of it. I get out of the Ultimate Fighter house. It's the night we get out. So I've been cooped up for 6 weeks. I'm in the finale. I got money in my pocket. And I'm at Tris nightclub and I'm walking through and Rampage Jackson's there and he goes, Shab, come here. I go over and Rampage gives me a big hug. And he's like, here, hold this. And he gives me a stack of cash, like this big. I'm like, it's the most cash I've ever seen. I'm like, what? And he goes, when I count to three, just let it go. Just start making it rain. Gives me his chain. I have my shirt off. His shirt's off. We're standing up. And I just remember him going, one, two, three. And I look around. It's just girls everywhere. He's making it rain. I'm making it rain then. I come to my sense. I'm like, fuck this. Put it all in my pocket. Jump down. Right, and I just remember that's the only time I ever made it rain, man. But I did it for just half of it with Rampage Jackson, then put the other half in my pocket. I was like, you know what? I'm going to need this money. Dipped out, went back to my hotel.
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not cheap by no means. I see a homeless guy, I'll give him $5.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something about making it rain that I could see myself one day when I'm 80 sharing a bunk with three fucking black dudes. You know, cutting my toenails, the guy's throwing them at me, and me in the corner thinking, if I just had 10 of those dollars that night, right, yeah. When I made it rain, if I just had 10 of those fucking dollars right now.
Make it rain.
All right, so see you, Boulder.
See you.
What a fucking great city that was, man.
Like we said, though, you know, we're talking a little bit off air, though. I couldn't wait to leave, man. I just figured, like, there's more out there in the world.
Oh, no, no.
That's why I came to L.A.
Listen, I left there.
I go back, and, you know, I'm not hating on Denver. I go back. I feel like I'm in a fucking country western, man. You know, it's just everything seems slow, and it seems like nothing ever changes. I go back, and it just feels like it's the exact same as I left it.
It's all about the Denver Broncos, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the Denver Broncos, baby.
Yeah.
What you want to do? Want to be called John Elway.
John Elway.
John Elway. He must own
100 car dealerships.
Fucking everything by now. When I left, you know, I used to work at Cherry Creek Jeep Eagle.
Oh, really?
You know what that is?
Yeah.
No. That's not even there anymore. When it was Dandy Doug.
Is it off
this of... This is 1994. And there was a movie theater there. I can't believe that you just said that. That movie, I went to see The Getaway with Baldwin, and when he was married to the blonde, when they remade the Steve McQueen movie. That's the first time I ever seen Alec Baldwin. I'm like, that dude is fucking good. I had never seen him before.
Did Elway buy that dealership? He owns sure. like 100 dealerships.
I left in 95. It was Clint. It was Doug Spedding off the, where the 70 becomes the 36 or the
36 is into Boulder, yeah.
Into Boulder, yeah. Is that turnoff. Yeah. There used to be a car dealership there, Doug Spedding.
There's a shitload of car dealerships there now.
I used to work on 104th. When I first moved back to, I had a great relationship with Colorado, man. It was something. But once I got in trouble and I got out, I've always felt guilty because it was a nice place. Now I was living there and I had to live there. But man, it was.
Did you stand up there now? Comedy Works, any of that?
I'm going back in Denver in June 6th. To Comedy Works? First time, yeah.
Yeah.
In a long time. But that's where I started.
Those do well, man. The Comedy Works do well.
Oh, please. Fuck yeah, man. They do well. Those
Joe did a special there.
Yeah, no, that's a great place. And Boulder's a great place. I just can't believe they just won't take the fucking comedy. But the Broker, you know where the Broker is.
Yeah.
They used to do comedy there on Tuesdays. I didn't know that's where I started.
Oh, wow.
I used to be the host, the house MC there on Tuesday nights for about 2 years. That's where I was every Tuesday night. It was steak night. It was like $10.95, and you got...
They're still known for their steak.
The steak, the shrimp bowl.
Yeah,
when you walk in, they give you a shrimp bowl. Yeah. Lee, as soon as you walk in, no questions asked. They give you a shrimp bowl. You'll shit blood. It's from the fucking... It's from the oil spill of 1922.
But it's free.
But it's fucking free. And they used to have four of them.
Lee, you might be the highest looking guy I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I know. I'm sick. And then he gave me a Green Hornet and then like a piece of the star.
What's a Green Hornet?
Show him. It's like
the star. Milligrams. The star. The only reason I've ever heard of the star is because it's Joey.
Yeah. That's
the star. This used to be 6,000 milligrams. Oh. It was a huge star. It's down to like maybe. What do you think? What do you give it? 1,200 milligrams?
Maybe. Right now? Yeah, maybe.
And how long has that last you?
Two, three days.
You see it? It's like squishy.
Joey just eats half.
It's crazy.
The only reason he has a knife is because I'm here. Like, if it was just you, you'd take like four bites out of it.
Oh, Joey. Boulder.
The highest guy I've ever seen in my life.
It's fucked up. Then I'm going to San Diego this weekend, and it's going to be...
Like this the whole...
We're taking an edible like at noon tomorrow.
You usually travel with Joe?
No, not usually. No, like just this weekend. Every once in a while.
San Diego's great, man. You have fun down there.
No shit.
Hell yeah.
So how many years did you play at CU?
I was there for 4 years.
Fucking 4 years.
4 years. Redshirted a year. Yeah, and three.
And did you guys get far the years you were there?
Oh, yeah. Big 12 North champs. Damn. All 3 years I played. And we lost in the Big 12 championship every year, too. We lost to those killer teams, though. We lost to Texas when they lost USC in the national championship when they had Vince Young. We lost 50-3 to them. We lost to Oklahoma when they had Adrian Peterson, Jason White, two Heisman winners. I mean, you're talking about, we played some teams, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
It was a beast. We were good, man. We were damn good. We also, nothing was worse than being, when we lost to, God, I want to say we lost, we might have lost 70-14 to Texas when they had Vince Young, but I was on the fucking kickoff return team. And when they're scoring, you know, they scored 70 points, I got to see the same dude every damn time, man. It was miserable. He was just this killer. Just this killer, man. I just remember dreading it. You know, after fucking, you know, seven touchdowns is 42 points. So after seven times, you're like, dude, how many times do I got to see this damn kid? I just remember that it was miserable. We got embarrassed, man. Rings are great. We had good seasons, but those teams were untouchable.
I was there in the McCarthy era. With Sal and Nessie when he had the stomach cancer and the kid with the daughter.
Yeah.
And the fucking, oh my God, it was sad. But they kept pulling it off. And they tied Notre Dame or something like that. And there was accusations that the quarterback was a Crip.
Yeah.
He kept coming back on the weekends and getting crack and taking it to LA. You know, this is, I mean, what the fuck are you doing? You're in college, you're broke.
I'll tell you what, there's no, this is going to go off on a little tear, but there's no bigger crooks in the world than NCAA. There's no bigger crook. If you think about it, as much money as they make off kids, and you see this kid, I think it's for Baylor. He was homeless, walked onto the team, made the team. The NCAA just banned him for life for taking food and shelter from a outside source. Banned. Can't play anymore. Can't compete. Can't play football anymore. Homeless kid. Think how much money the NCAA makes off these kids. Johnny Manziel jerseys. You know what I'm saying? Ohio State sales.
Video games. They have a ton of video games.
Dude, video games, jersey sales. TV rights. I mean, when Tim Tebow played, his jersey was the number three most popular selling jersey in the world.
He doesn't get a dime of that?
Didn't get a dime. NCAA gets it all. University of Florida gets it all.
Oh, my God.
He didn't see a single penny. Nothing. And then you're going to ban a kid for life because he was homeless and took shelter and food from a family? It's ridiculous. There's no bigger scam in this world than NCAA.
Let me ask you something. You know the years you play on the team?
Yeah.
That one of the kids on that team, his dad was a gangster that was in the witness relocation plan.
Really? Which kid?
I don't know what his name is. I never really asked. He called into the show a couple times, and we were talking about it. That's where he lived when he was in the witness relocation plan. They recruited him out of Boulder, Colorado, and he lived in Boulder. And now he doesn't. He didn't go pro. He lives in San Francisco selling something or something.
Black kid?
No, white. How can a black kid be in the fucking mafia?
Yeah, that's true. That'd be called. Yeah,
no, he's a white kid. That's really crazy. You said that. I just remembered that.
God, I wonder who it is now.
There was a drug dealer in Aspen that had been blown up. That the fucking papers they took to the fucking cleaners on this guy. He was making $6 million every fucking 6 weeks. They fucking blew him up in a Jeep in Aspen while he was working out. Every night he always paid somebody $10 to go start his car. This night there was nobody around. He went out and started his car.
Damn,
and
fucking the one time. Oh, my God. That bitch.
And he lived.
Oh, really?
He just bled out on the way to the hospital. I mean, damn, this motherfucker lived. You got that much money hidden. They went to his house. They killed him 30 days before he went on trial. They had gone into his house a year before and found pockets full of cash in garbage cans. He would hide it like if it was leaves in the outside.
Damn.
You know, $900,000 counts everywhere. And then he went to restaurants and dropped the money off at different restaurants. Like, you're my friend. I go, Brendan, leave this here. Let me know when my tab is up. And you're like, there's $900,000 in here. Even if you eat here every fucking night and you buy dinner for everybody every night, you'll never spend this shit, you know? They found his coke in Boulder one time at the bus station. That's how that whole investigation started. Boulder, and you look at Boulder and you're like, no, Joey. By the Albertsons, do you remember where that was? By 28th Street, by Coco's?
Yeah.
By Kmart out there? There used to be a field out there. There used to be a field out there. And there used to be a pizza place on... in South Boulder, the guy had not Abo's. There was a different pizza chain for a run in Boulder.
Not Bojo's.
No. This was on, I think they sold
Cosmos?
That. No. They were Brick Oven something. This is 30 fucking years ago. But they, one night that son, he decided he didn't want to work for the pizza parlor no more. He was selling cars and going to school, and I was selling cars and going to school. And we used to work opposite shifts. And one day he didn't come in. He didn't come in for a few days. And he was telling me a story that he had gotten arrested. And it came out in the paper days later that he was walking his dog. He let his dog off the leash. The dog went onto the field, was sniffing something. He went over to see what it was. It was a briefcase. He picked it up. There was money. He picked it up to leave. And within 30 feet, the fucking cops jumped on him and shit. They threw him down the floor. They set up a mock lab. They fucking tested the blow. This is all right down 30th Street. Boulder was buck wild like that because everything went through fucking Boulder back in those days. Boulder's not, then you had the bus stop.
Yeah.
Which the bus stop.
Still there.
Is a strip club that's owned by a church.
We're banned to go there.
See you players?
Yeah, banned.
Yeah. I'd been there a couple times. That's just true. Because there's nothing else to fucking do in Boulder. There's nothing else to do.
A church owns it?
A guy that owned it died and left it to a church. So
it's like the only strip club within fucking 30 miles.
Yeah, unless you want to go to Denver where you have Shotgun Willies, where they don't fuck around.
And Diamond Cabaret.
Diamond Cabaret.
I used to be a bounce man there.
You know, they used to do comedy there.
Really?
When they first opened in 19... They opened probably in 94. They didn't know what they were really doing. They were serving steak. They had three showrooms going then. That's a big place, Diamond Cabaret,
big
right?
Big place, yeah.
Big place, yeah.
I used to work at the nightclub next to it called Wish. I was a bouncer there.
Yeah, when I first started comedy, Diamond Cabaret, you had to know somebody to get up. It was Monday nights.
It's still tough to get in there, man.
Yeah, it was Monday nights after Monday Night Football. And they paid you, but it was tough to even get on. They wanted, like, dirty comedy. They wanted, like, weird fucking comedy, so.
The place is like the Pro Bowl for strippers of Denver. It's like the best strippers in Denver at Diamond Cabaret.
Is it? It's not Shotgun Willie's?
Ooh, Shotgun Willie's is... Ooh, good call. Shotgun Willie's is fire. Shotgun Willie's. I'm not a big strip club guy. I never have been. But Shotgun Willie's is a good one.
And then you have the ones where you go in there naked and you just can't. You have to bring your own booze in. That's the one I was telling you I went into in Aurora in Arvada. Arvada's where it's fucking dirty and nuts. And one night I was selling cars in 104th and Thornton, and I got out of there. I was in the halfway house in Boulder. I was telling these guys a story, and I got out of there with like a fucking half ounce of blow, and I didn't have to be until midnight. It was like 9:30. I go, let me go to this strip club. I went in there. It was a Korean chick with fake tits and blonde streaks on her hair. Brendan Schaub, it was over, Jack. We started doing pile. I was fingering her, eating her. I started putting then coke you ate marks in her pussy. I ate. I don't give a fuck. You know me, dog. When you're in hell, you're in hell. Fuck it. Pull back. You're going to make a wash her pussy. Fuck it. Give it to me straight. Give me that cough medicine. You know what I'm saying? Give me that. And the more you fingered them, that soy smell came out. That soy juice sucky came out.
God damn.
It was fucking tremendous. My dick was getting hard. We did the whole fucking package. And I went back to the fucking
How was that cost you?
It didn't. I was selling it at the time. I was selling it at the car dealership. I was crazy, Brendan. I was in the halfway house fucking selling blow and lending money for rent with a VIG. Like, I would pay you $75 for your weekly rent, but charge you like $105 back, yeah. $102. I was fucking crazy, so it didn't even matter. It didn't even
put a cream with fake tits and blonde streaks.
Oh, she was a wrap. She was done. She was done. As soon as I saw her, I knew it was
over. Were you ever a strip club guy, though?
No.
I've never been that guy, ever.
You.
It doesn't make sense. It never made sense to me.
Never made sense to me. It was very embarrassing. And then
I agree, man.
When I started dating Carol, she stripped. That's when it even became creepier to me. I really found out what it really, really was.
Yeah, man.
I was very naive for years. I went in there, I tried to get my dick sucked, but I moved on, or I tried to get a hand job, or whatever. You went in there for $20 and really thought you were going to fuck them. So you spend $60, nothing happens, and you leave pissed off. Well, you got to pull them aside and go, listen, I want to light your pussy on fire. I'll meet you at Denny's in Boulder afterward.
Yeah.
And they'll fucking meet you and suck your dick. That's the whole thing. But you gotta give them money before. Like, I didn't know this shit. But I'd be too embarrassed to do something like that fucking anyway. So
yeah.
I just was never really. And I grew up, and I tell these guys, I grew up at a club called the Meadowlands Inn when I was a kid with a chick that's in a Galliano bottle. So my strip club days, that shit got out of me early.
When you're young.
And then if you go to Canada, like I did Toronto comedy, I'm like when I 98, 97. Way before I moved to LA, I used to go to Toronto. And let me tell you something.
I love Toronto.
You ever go to a strip club in Toronto, you'll never go to a strip club in
the
States.
I heard the girls are ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And, you know, I was going up and biting their pubic hairs and pulling my head back. And their head, I mean, it was crazy. And I'm not a strip club. I just didn't see the other side of it. In LA, it's a disgusting, greasy side. It's they go in there to show off, kind of, sort of, these guys.
I agree. Like, it's more of a like a ego thing.
What's the one on Sunset by the gas station? Star Strip.
It's yellow. It's like those yellow neon. I've never been there. Yeah.
That's where the movie stars go in. They go in there and they get lap dances. And it's, oh, my God. She's fantastic. And she smells like fucking onions
fantastic.
And shit. She smells like
onions. I never got it, man.
I never fucking got it.
Certain guys love them.
I'm a disgusting person. I don't even want to go to Hooters. If you're not going to show me your pussy, listen, I don't want to eat your cheeseburger. It's that simple. Right or wrong?
Well, I like Hooters wings, man.
No, they're too skinny for Papa, you know? Once you go to Buffalo and you see what those wings are about, it's tough after
that. What about Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, those ain't Buffalo Wild Wings. That's just the name. Buffalo Wild Wings is owned by a guy named Chad. He never ate a buffalo wing in his fucking life. He's probably a vegan. He's got sandals on and shit.
Making that money, though, man.
Yeah, he's getting paid like...
Bro, I get one cheat meal a week right now with this fucking diet I'm on, and I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings on Sunday.
It's good. Take Lee with you. Take Lee, your buddy Lee. He'll even pick up the tab.
I love it. Look at him. So high as fuck. You just want some wings, man.
I love him.
When I moved to Boulder, I met a girl that was from Buffalo. And her family was from Buffalo. And on Saturdays or Sundays, we'd smoke dope, me and her, and we'd get fresh chicken wings and fresh blue cheese.
Sounds nice.
And she'd cut the chicken, and she'd fucking cook them in a wok, and then she'd make up the sauce with Frank's hot sauce and butter.
Oh, that's
and
the
she'd
best.
Dip it on the fucking thing, and she made her own blue cheese dressing.
Damn.
And we'd buy Coronas.
I would have married her.
I didn't, and and she'd fucking, we'd drink Coronas and just sit back, and after that, I'd go to Buffalo with her, and I got so spoiled that now I don't eat regular wings, like I just,
So you won't fuck with a wing?
Unless I'm in Buffalo.
You've had the Rolls Royce of chicken wings, now you won't fuck with the common?
Why fuck around, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, especially if I look around and I see fucking people eating ranch dressing, I gotta go.
Why, you just hate ranch?
It's insulting to me. I've been in Buffalo. How are you going to do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
It's like going to Chinese. I don't need to eat the Chinese food with the chopsticks.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
But the chicken wing needs to go with the blue cheese. The ranch, you just fuck it up. That's something.
The
you
ranch invented. Is some terrorist shit.
It's like putting pineapple on pizza. You're just breaking my balls. You're just doing it to torment my fucking
some
life.
Bullshit.
Yeah, you're just doing it to
it's
piss
insulting.
Me the fuck off.
It's insulting.
I want you to take the plane to Italy. I'll give you the VIG. Take the Italy. And find me one fucking Italian eating fucking pizza with pineapple. If you find one, I'll suck your dick on the video. I'll suck your asshole. I'll tongue ball you. I'll do the whole fucking thing. I'll two-finger Louie you.
Oh, my God.
It's true. You know, it fucking it's like Mexicans must be pissed. They just don't give a fuck. They're lazy like that. Taco Bell steals all their fucking... Just make shit up. There's no chalupa in Mexico.
There's no chalupa.
No! They just make that shit up.
I hate to tell you, there's no orange chicken in China.
No,
there's no
that's
fucking,
what I'm saying.
No
they just
fucking
make
orange.
This shit up.
There's no sesame chicken
Mexicans
in China.
Mexicans sit there going, what the fuck are they talking about with this new fucking inventions? These triple tacos. There's nobody in Mexico doing this shit. It fucking paninis. What the fuck?
Focaccia bread. You don't like focaccia bread?
I like focaccia bread. It's the panini that pisses me off. Because it comes from fucking nowhere. Now, you got drafted.
No, I didn't get drafted. I was a free agent. Yeah.
It's a different fucking world up there, dog.
What? Especially as a free agent? They have no stock in you? That's when I realized that the NFL was... Or pro sports in general. UFC is as cutthroat as it gets, if not more so than the NFL. But that's when you realize it's a business, man. Legit business. They don't give a fuck about your feelings or your family.
You know,
it's heartbreaking, really.
You play football, you fall in love with it as a child. You play peewee football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you play Red Raider football, 135.
Yeah.
Play freshman football with these batch of guys that you've been playing with.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 or 6 years, then you know, whatever. And you go to college, and just that level, just jumping from high school, even when you're all state, you're like, you know what, I got this. But once you go to Division I and you get there, you're like, oh my fucking God. You know, all summer long, I just stayed in the yard doing push ups and running 40s.
The same.
These fucking savages
animals
started at the age of 4. They're 4, you know. And then you. That's when you know you break. And I'll tell you, even with me, with my sport, it was basketball.
Mm.
All I wanted to do was play for North Carolina. When I was a kid, I'm like, listen, I'll get to North Carolina. I'll rebound my way to North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's how I'll do it. When I was like a junior, I'm like, I'm in no danger. You got to be 6 foot fucking three and have 40-inch fucking leaps to fucking... And that was heartbreaking for me. That was the worst when I came to the realization. I can't imagine being like in college and not knowing you're going to go pro. You know, your buddies are going pro, you know.
My best friend at the time, I just saw the different treatment because he was a first round to late first round, early second round pick. I just remember seeing the treatment he got, the treatment I got, and it was tough, man. And he always tried to kind of, you know, help me out, and he'd bring me along to certain stuff. But, man, you're talking about night and day different, man. And then you go to, you know, Buffalo Bills, and they don't even know your name. They don't know your fucking name. They call you by your number, you know? Yeah, it was just, to me, it was just a business. And the other thing is, not to say that I didn't get a fair shot, but it's just different, man. I felt like what I put into the game, and the game doesn't owe me anything. But what all the time and amount of effort and my dreams I put into the game, I didn't get back. That's what I felt with football. When I left, I remember flying home from Buffalo just being like, fuck, man, this is fucking dirty. Yeah, I remember being super brokenhearted. You just realize, because as a kid, you think it's all this, you know, glitz and glamour and hard work pays off on stuff. Then you get to the NFL, it's like, nah, homie, there's a lot of other things that go into this.
Even college football, it's 1,000 different fucking things.
Oh, man, what? College football, yeah.
And you're in a high school, you're the biggest guy. And the guy you've been practicing against for 4 years is 40 pounds your lighter. You get to college, you're the little fucking guy.
Yeah, man.
You're the little fucking guy. And I seen it with my friends that went to college. I'm like...
But at least in college, at least you're like, all right, I have 4 to 5 years to grow into this to give the NFL a shot. The NFL, there's no growing into it. There's no 4 to 5 years to get used to this, try and, you know, make something out of yourself. You have one shot. You know what I'm saying? Like college... They'll say, all right, this kid's small, he has potential, he has good footwork, we can work on, we can put some size on him, he's going to become a player. In the NFL, it's like, nah, man, you better be ready to go.
But that's all sports. That's hoops.
Oh, yeah, pro sport. Fucking, pro sports, man, is no punk.
God.
The damn. UFC, you know the average career in the UFC is a year and a half? A year and a half. I mean, you know, we talk about these guys, and I've been in the UFC for damn near 7 years now, a little over six, but... The thing is for every main card you see, those five guys you see on those five matches you see on TV, or you see the prelims on Fox Sports, there's guys on the undercard just chomping at the bit to get there, man. Chomping at the bit. And a lot of them, you know, they lose two, they're out. Year and a half.
That's fucking everything.
That's you got to perform. Everything. You have to perform.
You think it's any different for comedy?
No.
You take it to Montreal, no. You don't get a shot, you don't get a, you know, you work... You work at everything now, and you take a chance because it's your fucking dream.
I agree.
But you know what? You evolve. Like, okay, so you're in the UFC for a year and a half. Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus fucking Christ. How many people have that shot to be in the UFC for a year and a half?
True.
Now you have to evolve with that.
But the only difference between comedy, don't get me wrong, comedy's the toughest job as there is in the business, but you can do comedy to your what?
65.
You could be fucking 65, maybe 70 if you take care of yourself, you know, 70. UFC, NFL, NBA, if it takes you 6 years to crack through, 2 years, you have a small window. No matter whether you start from your rookie year until you retire after 10 years, you have a small window, man. So those years you're not performing, you're not getting by, very small window. In comedy, it's really at your own pace, right? You can just keep grinding at these smaller shows until you make it big. There's no grinding in, you know what I'm saying?
But you evolve. You become a writer. You go, you know what? I don't want to do this no more. I'm going to write a book and see where that goes. And in the meantime, your friend hires you because he can't write dirty jokes for the roast.
Yeah.
So there's always something as long as you keep believing. And I always believe, you know, listen, I'm 52. I came out here at 32 hoping that, or 34 hoping. I didn't even know what I was hoping for. I just wanted to survive. I didn't think I was going to survive. I thought I'd be an extra. I'm like, I'll be.
Did you come out here? Because a lot of people don't know. Callan came out here to be an actor, fell into comedy. And he's just, you know, he's a brilliant comic. Did you come out here to be an actor?
Was I came out to be a comic. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Gotcha.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. He told me, keep coming out like you. Latino nights are getting big. Latino nights are getting big. It's your way into the clubs. And I was like, I don't fucking know. I don't even like L.A.
Yeah.
I had been here like 10 times. I never liked it. And every time I came, I liked it. I didn't get it. I'm like, who fucking lives here? Because on TV, they show you the beach and chicks in bikinis, but they don't show you the fucking inner life.
Yeah.
They don't show you the 101 and Western and fucking Vermont. They don't show you those fucking streets, you know? And I just came out. And I got spots at the Comedy Store, and I got spots here, and next thing you know, I could pay rent. Next thing you know, I booked a TV show. Next thing you know, you book a commercial. But you're fighting the whole fucking time. You're fighting for your fucking life. Whether it's the UFC, whether it's the... It's the little opportunities you get to capitalize on.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Mir, right? He was 0-19. He won his last fight. Now he's headlining some fucking
The main event in San Diego against Todd Duffy.
You listen, you fucking never know. And, you know, God knows that gives him a lift. Now, right now, if I'm fucking Frank, yeah, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I want to beat Todd Duffy. But there's 10% that you're like, what's my next fucking move?
He has to be thinking that.
What if this guy gets me with a flying fucking knee? What do I do? Open up a jiu-jitsu school? Open up an MMA school? How many of those are there?
I agree.
You know, there's a many jiu-jitsu school is fucking 7-Elevens.
Gym's a tough business to run, man. It's now, not a good idea.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I look at Burbank and North Hollywood. There's 7 jiu-jitsu schools. Burbank is North Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, you could open it up and probably break even. You know, is that what you want to do, though? Because you're going to be at that gym 24/7. There's no 9-to-5 hours when you're an owner. That's a tough gig, man.
Lee, how you doing? You got any input today? You're just going to sit there like a fucking zombo.
I'm good.
Let me give some shout-out to you so we get you going. Look at the fucking shape of you. Jesus Christ. Chris Carroll, Zakarian, I love you, cocksucker. Michael Allstrom, Kyle Ship, Ookie Spooky, Scott Musa, Phil McCruis, Raz Dude, and Amy, I love you, cocksucker. Anyway, how's that for a couple fucking shout outs? Letting people know we love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got it, man. It's the fans that make this show.
Listen, it's
fans that make everything.
I UFC year and a half. How many? What's the longevity of an NFL running back?
3.5 years.
You know, so what's the fucking difference? I mean, it's what you do with it. Who's the guy? O.J. Anderson. O.J. Anderson was a 36-year-old fucking washout. Do you remember him and what he did? Type up O.J. Anderson, Lisa. Yeah. Watch what O.J. Anderson did.
Football player?
Yes, and I'm going to tell
you. From what college?
Who the fuck knows what college? The University of Black People. I don't fucking know. The University of Brothers. That was a bad motherfucker, OG.
Otis Anderson?
Otis Anderson. What did he do? What was his claim to fame? And I'm going to tell you what it was. What does it say? And how old was he? He was like, it said he was 36. This dude was like fucking 41.
Every bit of 45.
And the Giants picked him up at the end. People were laughing at the Giants. This guy had legs and he had a heart. Lee, how long does it take you to fucking break it
up? I don't know what I'm looking for.
Otis Anderson. Who did he play for?
Okay. Let's see.
Jesus Christ, Lee. Take your time.
The Cardinals.
Huh?
The Cardinals.
And then at the end, who did he play for?
The Packers.
No, and who else? The Giants. And he won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Does he see it on there or no? It's not the fucking shit.
Dude, you can't be getting this high.
No. He's fucked up, embarrassing. The producer of the show wants to scratch that off your card. You know? He fucking was an old dude that the Giants picked up. And that year, I think they played against New England or Buffalo. They just knew he was good for 15 runs. And he gets 6 or 7 yards.
Per game.
Per fucking, yeah. They knew for the Super Bowl. They were like, this motherfucker, he's going to get 15 runs, and he'll run 7 yards. That's why I want you to find what he did. I think he was even the Super Bowl MVP, but that was it after that. He never came back.
Nothing.
No, that was it. That was it. They fucking killed him that night. I mean, you have peaks and valleys. So for a couple of years,
that's sports, man.
He wasn't good. You know, he was barely holding on.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the Giants pick him up for $55
a game. Yeah, he was the Super Bowl MVP. Of
look at that.
Fifth, 15, I think, or 25. Super Bowl 25. He had 102 yards and a touchdown on 21 carries.
And how much? How old was he? He was like 36 when he fucking was the MVP Super Bowl. He was an old man and shit. That's my point. That you have peaks and fucking valleys. You understand me?
That's with everything, though, right? Even show business, sports.
Listen, man, you may be on a sitcom for fucking 6 years. It gets canceled. People see you on the street 6 years later. Like, hey, man, what happened to you?
Yeah.
What happened to me? I bought a fucking house with a fucking tomato garden. And on the weekends, I sell tomatoes for fucking $10 a piece at the farmer's market. And I make my nutter, right? What happened?
Yeah.
I'm just existing. And you're just waiting for that next phone call.
Yeah.
You know, and you get the phone call, and all of a sudden you spark up again. The dude from American Family. You know, Ted Bundy.
Oh, Ed O'Neill.
He was big. Yeah, he was big till fucking whatever. Yeah, how do you think he felt? For 10 years, he didn't do dick.
Black belt.
Yeah, black belt. And all of a sudden, he gets this. You never know what point, but you can't give up because a door shuts on you.
Yeah.
You have to keep fucking going. All right, so this door shut on me. Fuck it. So if you're a running back and you run this way and there's a fucking linebacker, that's it? No. You spin that motherfucker and you go this way. Boom. And maybe this fucking... this fucking DB, you catch him flat-footed, and now he's in a pursuit, and every fucking yard, every fucking yard is $1,000 in negotiation. Am I lying to you?
No, yeah.
They fucking know. Who do you think you're dealing with? Some novice here? I could have been a sports fucking agent. The fuck is wrong with you people? I could have been a fucking sports novice agent. Everybody knows those. The NFL and the owners are like the improvs, that they look at everything. They love you to death. You know, they let you do the commercials and jump up and down. But at negotiation time, they're going for your fucking throat.
Sharks, man.
They're fucking sharks. They're going for your
throat. It's a business.
And they'll tell you, remember that game against New England? You were supposed to score. You were supposed to get 200 yards, but you got 198 yards. Those two fucking yards, and you're sitting there going, we won the Super Bowl. Whatever the fuck it is. I didn't know how. When I did the longest yard, I had a long weekend with Brian Bosworth. Just me and him by a pool talking shit.
That's right,
shit.
He was in that.
And dog, he broke it down for me. That they were taking his fucking, his checks. They were fining him for letting his shirt out of his pants. You know, he just did that 30 for 30.
And it was really amazing. Yeah, it was amazing.
He broke down a lot. And he told me he had gone to therapy in Hawaii. It took a long time. They fucked him. But they, I remember when he was kicking ass, dog.
Oh, he was killing.
I remember when he was kicking ass at Oklahoma. You can't take that away from him, man. Colorado, the big football years. Yeah, I lived in Boulder during some good years. I fucked up my year in Boulder, my years in Boulder. I could have got a nice degree from Boulder, dog.
It's a good place to get a degree from.
Fucking nothing. Yeah. For free, on the arm, nice. Damn. It was very nice. I liked that campus. I liked how they treated the people there. You know, they were uppity white people, bro. They were very uppity white people. And like I said, they're not racist, and they're very intelligent, but when the shit goes down, they're going to point their fingers at the black people in the neighborhood. Mm. Or that's just normal shit. That's how people are, you know. But that was a kinky fucking town, man. I got arrested there, and I went to jail there in the county. A lot of weird crimes did that. And some of the weirdest people I met were on that hill. Like, I became friends with these two guys. Not, you know, that Robert Redford worked at the sink, right?
Yeah.
Right? Robert Redford worked at the sink. And what's the place across the street? The Fox Theater was where I opened up for Ice Cube.
Oh, nice.
Right? And across from that is the place that sells chicken, roses.
Is that
and up
still
the
there?
Corner is the fucking sandwich place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's that sandwich place called?
There's a sandwich place at the corner next to
famous sandwich place.
Used to be a movie theater next door. That sandwich place had been there for years. I don't know if it's the same guys.
It's there.
Now, they used to be partners. It was four of them. And they were making tons of money because they were making fresh chicken cutlets.
They still are.
Fresh.
The lines out the door.
Out the fucking door. But now it's different owners. Trust me. There were four kids that all went to high school together and knew each other from day one. But one kid was a bodybuilder. And all of a sudden, the fucking feds raided the place. He was getting fucking shipments sent from Germany. Boxes
oh my God.
Of Decca fucking Stavanazol. He was fucking
distributing. That's when you get in trouble. Yeah, that's where the feds are going to red flag you.
And some friend of mine, a car guy, was the one who got busted with them. And then he had a roll, and he rolled on the sandwich place. But that sandwich guys, those guys started from scratch. And damn, it wasn't even on the hill. It was somewhere else. And then they expanded to the fucking hill. And that's where the shit started between them. Then the partners broke up, and one guy went away. The other guy moved to Boston with some chick. He used to call me on the slot. I got to call you now. My girlfriend shot me. She doesn't want me calling any of my old friends. What are you fucking talking about? What are you, in captivity? What the fuck is wrong with you? What, ISIS got you? What's up, Lee cocksucker?
Lee.
Look at this.
Lee, we're going to need you to sober up, brother.
I don't know. It's not going to be possible right now.
All right, so how many fights you got left on the contract?
Four on my contract with the UFC. I signed a 6-fight deal with them.
How many do you want to do?
You know what, man? My next fight's going to be at 205, so I have this mock weight cut. It's going to take me 11 weeks. I'm just going to get through this one and then take it from there.
What are you weighing at now?
I'm 251 right now.
You got to get down to 205.
Well, I'm getting down to 220 in 11 weeks, and I'm cutting the last 15 pounds of water weight that week of. And then we're seeing if it's possible. And then the UFC said, all right, if that goes well, then tell us when you're ready to fight. So that's the plan, man. 11 weeks, cut this weight, taking this fight, and that's all I can tell you. One fight, and then we'll see.
And you started training already?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You doing all the...
Stand up, but no sparring right now.
No sparring.
No sparring. Yeah, just technique and jiu-jitsu. A lot of this, with this weight loss, man's diet and fucking cardio. Tons of cardio.
Tons of cardio. Yeah, you gotta do the cardio. Cut your fucking carbs down. Keep your protein at 185 and your fats at 59. You know what I'm saying?
It's a beast, man.
What do you think you're dealing with?
You've cut a ton of weight.
Lee, what's the story over there, cocksucker? Get it together.
I'm here.
Look at the shape of you.
I'm here.
To be acting like a fucking man. He comes in and he's got the flu.
Yeah, right. The flu.
You're not supposed to have the fucking flu, Lee.
I just have the flu. It's going to be gone by tomorrow.
So you like living out here, my brother? You have a nice... You look good. You look healthy. So yeah. Obviously you like it.
Love it. Never leave.
This is fuck this wherever is the it. Fuck. Fuck Denver and the mountains.
Fuck Denver. They're going to hate
and the Cowboys
that.
And the hell white Christians. No. It's over.
Love L.A., man. Never leave. Love it here. It's my home here, man. Everything's here. My show's here. Training's great here.
I would give my heart to move back to Boulder.
Really?
Yeah. Because they get sunshine. If I didn't have to... The thing I don't like about the whole Colorado thing is the airport. That's it.
DIA? How far it is?
Yeah, I can't. That was a mistake from day one. They did that.
Why they did it. I mean, there's all the underground city. You know, if the president, if we go into a state of like nuclear warfare, he comes to Denver and there's an underground bunker in Denver. So the reason it's so far out, you can look this up, there's all these blueprints that they have. They built like this underground bunker. There's all this shit out there, man, underneath the airport. It's weird stuff, man. Look at your face. Like, what the fuck? There's a reason it's just out there and there's just fields for fucking days. Have you ever been to another city where there's an airport like that?
Never.
Never.
I can't.
You fly into DIA, you're 45 minutes away from anything.
Anything. You've never seen anything like that. And you could see that they built it so. There's nothing out there, so when it snows, it's going to be horrible. There's nothing to distract the snow. It's out there and fucking...
It doesn't make sense at all.
It feels like you're driving to Kansas. You're picking somebody up in Kansas.
They built a light rail to there, though, but that's what they've been doing.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? That's the problem with flying in there. I can't trust that.
It's miserable, man. It's miserable.
What if you have a gig somewhere and they sold tickets already? And I'm in Denver stuck because you don't know what's going to happen then.
No.
It could be sunny at 8 in the morning. You could be packing your shit going, fuck it, I'm flying to Texas at 1 in the afternoon. I'll be there at 4 for lunch, whatever the fuck your plan is. By the time you get to the airport, the cloud could be moving in. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh,
snow
shit.
Storm.
And next thing you know, boom, you're at the fucking airport stuck. They got your luggage. Nobody can come out and get you. You know, the snow banks and shit. Fuck you, man. I can't trust that
shit. Fuck you. Yeah, it's a beast.
Fuck you. You know, if you're inside, you want to smoke pot, you got to walk, fuck, you got to be on a shuttle for like, I think it's 30 minutes just to get outside the civilization with the shuttle and shit you got to take. Then you got to go back through security. It's just, it's too much for me for an airport, you know?
I agree.
I like them simple. What's all the fucking, me too. What's with all the gadgets? What's with all the fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you fly into Chicago, you're downtown Chicago, man. Walk out, you're in the city.
You're in the city. You're
L.A., you're right there, man.
You're a cab right away from anything. Houston, boom. Even if you land at fucking Bob Hope, Bob Dope, whatever the fuck. Even this one here, Burbank. You land, right around the corner, there's a sushi spot.
Yeah, you're good.
You're good. Something.
Isn't civilization. San Francisco really far away? Like, no. The airport?
Uh-uh.
Maybe just the time I went, I thought it was like a 20 or 30 minute ride.
20 minutes, yeah. You have to drive a little while.
Not too bad.
No,
there's
but
some
not,
shit around San Francisco.
What we're saying is not Denver. Hell it's not 45 minutes in Denver.
Denver, you're literally flying into cornfield.
You land, that's you're crazy. Starving. You're fucking starving. All you're thinking about is a green chili burrito and shit.
They have some legit restaurants in the airport, but still.
No, not like that. Not that. They don't have no Chubbies.
They have a Chop House.
Do they really? Yeah, they ain't got no fucking new. Chubbies. I don't want no Chop House. I want some nice green chili fucking burritos and shit, man. Like that. Let me talk about the sponsors. We'll get the fuck out of here, right?
You got this, man.
Let's start with Optimal Optimization. That's how we roll. You understand me? You want to get strong mentally, physically, spiritually. It starts with Alpha fucking Brain. It'll take you. Is it Alpha Brain? What are you looking around for, Lee? I can't tell because you're looking around like I fucked up somewhere.
So it's Alpha Brain.
Yeah, it's Alpha
Brain. I'm on it right
now. You're cool.
All right.
I'm just looking for the time.
What are you looking for the time for?
Because I have to write it down.
It all starts with Alpha Brain. You understand me? You know why it starts with Alpha Brain? Because it's money-back guarantee if you don't feel the difference. You know what? You don't even have to return the product. We'll send you back to Gidas. Why? Because we believe. They've done some testing that is off the charts. I could sit here for hours and break it down. We ain't got that type of fucking time. Go to Honor.com. Read all about Alpha Brain, the testing they've done. The results are going to be fucking mind-boggling. You're going to be ordering it. Trust me. And like I said, give it a shot. Columbus did. What do you got to lose? They got the New Mood. They got the Shroom Tech. They got the fucking tea, the tea testosterone juice. They got everything. Plus, they got the battle ropes, they got the weights, they got the kettlebells, they got the things that look like devils. You could throw those fucking things around. Knock yourself out. Go to Honor.com right now. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom! You get 10% off just supplements. No kettlebells, no nothing like that. Don't throw me under the bus and lie and say, Joey, tell me. I didn't tell you fucking dick, cocksucker. Just supplements. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
CHUR CH and get 10% off your first order. And if you like what you got, go to the Stay On It program. Knock yourself the fuck out. You know, you're sitting there all bored to pieces. You're like, what am I going to watch tonight? Dancing with the Stars ain't on. I got the answer. We're going to get back into classic martial arts. And when we're talking about classic martial arts, we're talking about IronDragonTV.com. You understand me? Tell them, Lee, who they got on there? What's the people they got on there? Look at the shape of this fucking Mukiak.
They got Jackie Chan. They got the Ant-Man series. Taxi Hero.
They have some 4K technology. Plus, they're writing new films all the fucking time. Dave Foley don't fuck around. In fact, we're not going to blow smoke up your ass. Just go to the webpage. Go to Iron Dragon TV. It's a Roku channel webpage. Go to IronDragonTV.com right now. Go to the page and press in.
Joey.
You're going to get 2 free movies for free. Go around. Snoop around. It costs you nothing. Cost you fucking dick to go and snoop around. You like kung fu. You like seeing Chinese people get kicked in the head. This is the fucking webpage for you. IronDragon.com TV. Lee, stop it. Jesus Christ. You're like a fucking... You sound like a Jew woman. Fucking IronDragonTV.com. And pressing... Lee, what's the word? Look at the shape of this fucking... What? Look at this.
Look at the skin.
What's
Joey?
Joey, and get 2 free films. All right. Let me ask you a question. How much longer are you gonna sit there with those same crusty fucking underwear on? Nobody's sucking your dick. Your balls smell, but the underwear smell worse. You ever eat a chick out and a fucking panty smell? A monkey smells a little bit, but a panty's got some real bad wang to him. Like she don't use Clorox. You know why she has that problem? Because
why?
Because you don't have MeUndies. That's why. MeUndies is tremendous. MeUndies pulls the sweat away from your body so everything smells fresh and clean and tremendous. Don't believe me. Go to MeUndies.com. Look at the great selection of boys and girls undies they have. They have great T-shirts. They have great sweatpants. They got great T-shirts. Like if you like, what do they call the rash guards? They got these short sleeve things you can put on your jiu-jitsu gi. They're tremendous. The MeUndie underwear, the little boy cut with style. I use those under my gi because your nut never pops out. When you use the white cotton ones, your nut always pops out. You got to tap and put your nut back in your fucking underwear. Then you got to go wash your hand because then you're trying to choke the dude with nut on your fucking hand. Now he's got nut on his neck, and it's a it's a fucking nightmare. So what I'm trying to say is go to MeUndies.com right now. Take a look at the great selection of men and women's underwear they got. If you see something you like, go to the box and press in.
Joey.
And what do they get?
20% off.
Their first order and free shipping
right
to Canada and the United States. That's I'm not it. Fucking around with you. I'm telling you seriously right now. You're sitting there with those crusty fucking underwear that smell like God knows what. And MeUndies is right there. You can impress yourself. You can impress your beautiful girlfriend or wife. Get her a pair that match. You can both look at each other and dance in the fucking mirror. Whatever you like doing. But it all starts by going to MeUndies.com and pressing in.
Joey.
And getting 20% off your first order and free shipping to the United States or Canada. That's how we roll.
Right.
You're sitting there hungry. You're like, Jesus, I can go for something to fucking eat. Not you, you fuck. I'm talking about the general public.
I can order a Nature Box, too.
No, I know you can order a Nature Box, but I'm not talking about you. You probably owe them $200. You're making me look bad, cocksucker. I'm talking about naturebox.com right now. But you're going, Joey, you already hit me up for money, for On It, and Iron Dragon TV, and MeUndies. What are you going to tell me now? You know what I'm going to tell you now? Nature Box provides tremendous snacks, nutritious, delicious, low-sodium, gluten-free snacks. You don't have to go to your fucking the soda machine anymore and get those fatty fucking Cheeto Lays. Fuck all that garbage. You got the new naturebox.com. I'm telling you right now, these snacks are tremendous. The sriracha cashews, the cocoa almonds, the clusters, the French toast clusters. I mean, they have, just have so many tremendous things. And you know what? They're going to send them to you for free. Just like that. But Joey, you're going to pull a string. There ain't no string. Shipping is like fucking $2, all right? They're going to send you $30 worth for fucking free. $2 ain't shit to you. You understand me, cocksucker? What are you sitting there crying for? Go to naturebox.com right now. Look at this. Look at the list of nutrition snacks that they have. Tell them what you want. They'll send it to you. They're going to send you 5 bags, 2 big ones and 3 little ones that are going to rock your fucking world. You're going to be sitting there at night watching Jimmy Fallon scratching your nuts, thinking, you know what? Who's better than me? Look at me. I'm eating fucking nutritious, delicious. I'm not going to get fat. My fat's not, no, my heart's going to be nice, pumping without no fucking peanuts around it. All that type of shit, all right? But it all starts with you. Go to naturebox.com right now and press in.
Joey.
Boom! Get a free Nature Box sampler sent right to your house, no strings attached, free, okay? It's like $2 for fucking shipping. You can go for the $2, trust me. It's worth what you're going to get for $2, all right? I want to thank Brendan Sharp for coming on the show tonight. I have no idea what we talked about, but who gives a fuck? Those are usually the good fucking podcast. I want to thank Lee for getting all whacked up. As usual, I'm going to be in San Diego tomorrow night and Saturday night at the American Comedy Club. Next week, I'm going to be at the Houston Improv. Fucking tearing it up like a man out of prison. Don't forget to come on out, all right? What else, Brendan Sharp? Anything you want to talk about? When is the Fighter and the Kid coming back?
That's it, man. Fighter and the Kid.
Next week?
Yeah. We have an episode coming out tomorrow morning with Uriah Faber.
All right. Yeah, all right.
At Brendan Sharp. Yeah, it's good,
look
man.
At you. All right. Things so even good. Though fucking Brian Callen went hunting.
I keep this circus going, man. I keep this well-oiled machine, man. Yeah.
Everybody wants to be Johnny Hunter. One time he gets shooting the foot. And they come back limping and shit crying. You're going to tell them, fuck you now. Who needs no fucking, I don't need no host with a missing foot. Get out of here, Lee. Tell these people what's cracking. I love you guys. Stay black. Thank you for listening.
Go to onit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of your order of all the great optimization products. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get 20% off. Oh, to get 2 free movie rentals of all the great martial art movies. And go to MeUndies.com/Joey and look at all their men's and women's underwear. They have t-shirts, socks. When you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, you get 20% off your order. You're slipping. And you also get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And lastly, go to naturebox.com. And don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great tasting healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey.
Girl. it felt like rain.